InfoWars has been shouting from the rooftops for three decades that there is a war for your mind.
This is America. MSNBC, the answer to protect America? What's their answer? Domestic CIA. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. I could go for 100 hours here and not cover it all.
That wasn't merely excellent branding. As it is 2026 and the normies are finally listening, a chilling CIA document just dropped into the public eye, exposing the agency's twisted blueprint for total mind control through covert drugging ops.
A few days ago, the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, took millions of CIA files that were declassified over a decade ago, but never digitized, never put out to the public, so just the National Archives and released them. Total vindication, everything I'm talking about. These people are psychotic demons. They're at war with humanity. They're at war with free will.
Project Artichoke from 1951 to 1956. The Cold War nightmare where CIA spooks hunted for ways to chemically hijack human behavior, force confessions, and bend the human will without a trace.
In 1953, while attending a CIA retreat, a scientist working for the agency drank a cocktail that had been spiked with LSD. His name was Frank Olson. A few days later, on November 28, 1953, Olson allegedly committed suicide by falling from the window of a New York City hotel room. 41 years after his death in 1994, Frank Olson's family decided to have a second autopsy performed. A forensics team discovered injuries on the body that were most likely caused before the fall. Following lengthy legal proceedings, Olson's family was awarded a $750,000 settlement and a personal apology from President Gerald Ford and the then CIA director, William Colby. And the person named for administering the LSD to Frank Olson was none other than Sidney Gottlieb, by this time known as the Black Sorcerer and Dirty Trickster.
They wanted substances that could be slipped into food, water, booze, cigarettes, vaccinations, and injections to dose entire populations undetected, creating long-term psychological torment like crippling anxiety, deep depression, hopelessness, or outright agitation.
There is a tyrannical organization calling itself the New World Order, pushing for worldwide government, a cashless society, open borders, total and complete tyranny.
Artichoke pushed hypnosis, sensory deprivation, gases, aerosols, oxygen deprivation, and every psychological trick in the book to break minds and compel people to act against their own volition, potentially even committing crimes while staying blissfully unaware.
You know, what the CIA really dreamed of was sort of like a drug you could give to someone, get them to commit all sorts of unspeakable acts, and they wake up the next day and they don't remember what they've done.
The American Intelligence Agency had paid for a series of brainwashing experiments under a project codenamed MK-Ultra. The tests were conducted in secret in the United States and in Canada at a mental hospital attached to McGill University. Experimental drugs, including LSD, were administered to human guinea pigs.
Regardless of the catch-all go-to conspiracy theorist moniker to explain away the possibility of this recent culture of mass shooters being connected to the CIA's MK-Ultra program, it is obvious that the guns cannot murder anyone without a psychotic madman behind the trigger. So one cannot help but look to a possible motive. And every time these possible MK-Ultra tied shooters point the narrative towards themselves, it distracts from the government's corruption.
The United States government has perfected a technological capability. At the same time, that capability at any time could be turned around on the American people. There would be no place to hide. The technological capacity that the intelligence community has given the government could enable it to impose total tyranny.
This resurfaced declassified file from 1983, now going viral, proves the deep state's obsession with controlling thought and behavior never stopped. It just evolved exponentially. From Artichoke's covert labs to MKUltra's university and prison sub-projects, the propagandized hypnosis to the chemtrails and mandatory vaccinations.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
In key positions as pedophiles. You're saying, okay, you're taking this out of context. You know, government loves us. Where do you think the pedophiles go? Because let's admit it, the UN kills hundreds of thousands of kids every year. You know, they get caught all the time. You know, there's 3,500, nothing compared to them. And there's slave brothels and the slave centers and the 1.2 million women they're kidnapping and shipping out of Eastern Europe and Central Europe. And that's mainstream news. I'm sure you might have heard about that. This is all giant UN slave brothels. They've got slave liner ships. That's been in the news. And you don't believe me? Fine. Okay, don't check it out. This is all documented. I don't care how horrible it sounds. It's all documented. I've covered it all here 100 times. We're now hearing about 700 missing in Georgia, thousands missing in California. And the government, no one's held accountable. Okay, we don't know where the kids are. We took them from homes. We don't know where they are. And then I predicted, and rightfully so, there'd be a lot of news articles in Florida. Well, they found some of the kids. And I thought they'd say we found 2,000 of them or something. No, we found 5 of them. And when I get up here and say that pedophile rings are one of the biggest cults or guilds running Washington, that's just what the facts always show. Coming up in the second hour, former state senator John DeCamp, who did write about connections to Penn State and child abuse in the 90s. I had forgotten that he talked about this. Then I saw a Red Dirt report a few days ago. With quotes where he'd been talking about it years ago, just amazing, the massive child abuse network ring at the highest levels of the Republican Party. He was hired as a big Republican in the state of Nebraska to go basically investigate it and cover it up. I mean, they didn't say, hey, it's real, go cover it up. It was, hey, this is a bunch of bull, Senator DeCamp, go prove it's bull. And so the police investigator he hired, the detective, well-known detective, he and his son's plane was blown up when flying to Chicago to investigate. And the rest, there were indictments, there were convictions. The feds swooped in and covered it all up. So you know about the Catholic Church, know about Penn State. I mean, what about the Texas Youth Commission? All the major youth facilities with gladiatorial fighting, the jail guards selling even, 10-year-old children out in the juvenile correctional facilities to police and judges and people coming in and other wealthy who are part of the pervert club, part of the demon club, to have their way with children all over Texas. The Texas Rangers found out and tried to stop it. They got told to back off. The head of the DPS refused to kill the investigation. He was just removed. So the pedophiles rule Texas as well. So they call the shots. And they're everywhere. They like to get into government control because it's the only place they can operate with basically diplomatic immunity like the UN. During 16 years in office, a former state senator, John DeCamp, was cited even by his enemies at the World Herald as one of the most effective legislators in Nebraska history. A highly decorated Vietnam War veteran in 1975, he initiated Operation Baby Lift, which evacuated 2,800 orphan Vietnamese children. He is currently a practicing attorney in Lincoln, Nebraska. He served as a lawyer for the militia of Montana, a constitutional militia group in the 90s. The camp has also been lead perspective on Conspiracy of Silence, an unaired documentary on the Franklin child abuse. Well, we aired it. We got it and aired it locally on Access 15 years ago, and it since went viral online. That's where that people always say, have you seen this? Yeah, I've seen it. I'm the one that put it out. He joins us now, and here's the Red Dirt report. And when I saw this weekend, it punched me. I was like, I remember him saying that. But since it hadn't been in court in the news, I'm like, let's not go there, Senator. But I remember him getting into Boys Town before that all came out, the Catholic Church. I remember him getting into Penn State. And I remember him saying on air more than 10 years ago that the football program, and I'm like, and I know he's credible, but I'm like, okay, Senator, let's just stop. Folks, by the way, have dug those interviews up now. I'm like, let's just stop right there and just get into what was proven in court. Because people went to jail in Nebraska. He was hired as a big Republican because, you know, to go in and disprove it. They're like, oh, this couldn't be true, Senator. You go disprove it. When his investigator, a police officer, and his son got murdered, the senator started to look closer. So he's going to recap all that. So he was hired as a, you know, prominent Republican and a senator to go in there as damage control because, you know, he didn't believe it was real and found out it was all real and more. I'm angry. I've had enough of these people. They're a bunch of Christian murdering scum that run giant death factories, keeping babies alive and selling their body parts. What more do you need to know about these people? I go out and face these scum. They literally crawl out from under rocks. They have green-looking skin, either black or white, doesn't matter. And they run around screaming, we love Satan, we want to eat babies. I have them on video at the Texas State House, just women randomly going, hail Satan, and just praising Satan. When a Democrat group went up there, I mean, folks, this is literally like a demonic invasion. I'm telling you, that's what it is. Or Epstein, who is at the center of the pedophile island. I don't cover modern slavery to lessen the horrible transatlantic slave trade that killed millions of people, tens of millions of people, enslaved hundreds of millions in the aggregate, or the Arab slave trade that was even bigger, or the Roman slave trade, or the Chinese slave trade. I mean, every culture's done it. Doesn't mean it's good. We as a culture said, this is a bad contract. We don't like this. We're not doing this. But the type of slavery now is kids and women of every race, color, and creed.
Good morning and happy Thursday, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal Works. And you're all on board with us today. A lot happening today, like a lot. Looking forward to seeing what's going on in Congress. I've got a lot to dive into on that front. Oh, man, Hillary Clinton will be making her way to give her, sadly, closed-door testimony. It's going to be a deposition. She's expected to give this before the Republican-led House Oversight Committee. Now, again, folks, this is all in regards to you-know-who, Jeffrey Epstein. We're going to talk a lot about Epstein today. As you guys recall, we just played a little clip of Alex Jones, who was one of the original individuals covering all of this. It's crazy because, as many of you know, they tried to dismiss Jeffrey Epstein, all the allegations against him, as conspiracies, but time and time again, they are being proven true. We've got more evidence of just that in just a moment. We're diving into all of that, and as many of you guys also know, Bill Clinton is expected to be giving his deposition as well. That will be tomorrow, so we look forward to that. And the depositions, because, you know, we have to be nice and friendly with the Clintons, apparently. I don't know why. The Clintons will be doing this out of their New York home today. That's according to several reports. Again, James Comer, who is the chairman of that committee, was speaking earlier today on Fox and was trying to say, we're going to finally get them to answer some questions on Epstein. Now hold your breath. Just kidding. Don't do that. The reality of it is I have a bad feeling that we're not going to hear much. I mean, you and I both know Bill's not going to say anything. And Hillary keeps downplaying her involvement in all of this. She pretends like she wasn't friends with Ghislaine Maxwell. In fact, we know that she's pretending this because, well, we have the clips. She continuously is going out there and pretending like she doesn't know Ghislaine Maxwell. But Ghislaine Maxwell was invited to her daughter's wedding. Now, how many of you invite a stranger to your child's wedding? Probably not many of you. So it's the new effort that many on the left are trying to do. They're trying to distance themselves from the Epstein scandal. But we all know that they're all caught up in it. And that is the reason why they are trying their very best to politically pivot from all of this and shift blame to President Donald Trump. And speaking of President Trump, before we go into the Epstein files, his schedule is kind of booked today. At 9 a.m., he's expected to participate in an executive time. Don't know what that truly means, but they keep putting that on the schedule. It's a new thing. At 11 a.m. Eastern time, they have him also participating in his intelligence briefing. When that begins, we will bring that to you. Right now, it's labeled as closed to press, but sometimes these do go public, and we will let you know if that does happen. And then he also, at 3 p.m. Eastern, has a private meeting added to his schedule, which is obviously closed to the media. Now, folks, when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein, again, they all tried their very best to cover up for him. They all did. All the top people, those at the DOJ, The DOJ is where the corruption actually truly begins here, because there were state-level investigations into Epstein. We've talked about the New Mexico one, which they say were shut down because they didn't want to create a chaotic scene with their investigation on a state level and the DOJ's investigation. That's what they said. That's what they said. There's also proof of that also in Florida, too, but it's getting so bad that they can't cover it up. Now, like I mentioned, obviously, Hillary Clinton is expected to be testifying today. And John Turley, Jonathan Turley over at Fox, was actually speaking today about that testimony in clip one. Take a listen.
The obviously most attention is with Bill Clinton, who was on this plane of Epstein at least 16 times. There are some very embarrassing photos that have come out in these files. But today, Hillary Clinton will face some equally difficult questions when it comes to their global initiative and foundation. Epstein seems to have played a role in helping the Clintons in that area. And also, Hillary Clinton had a relationship with Maxwell. And while both of them have tried to distance themselves as all of these files came out, Maxwell was invited to her daughter's wedding. So this was not a arm's-length relationship.
Yeah, they want to pretend like it is. But we all saw Ghislaine Maxwell there. The photo proves just that. The photo proves just that. By the way, folks, earlier this morning, President and CEO of the World Economic Forum, Brende did resign from his position. As many of you guys know, he is the former Norwegian prime minister and this foreign prime minister, I should say. And this is just one of the many layers to the latest that we keep seeing. I mean, obviously, they're all trying to distance themselves from this. He claims to have no guilt in regards to participating in the sex acts, the crimes that were being committed by Epstein. He's just claiming that, yes, obviously the documents reveal and expose him for having three business meetings with Epstein and exchanging emails and text messages, but claims no wrongdoing there. Now, this is one of the many who, again, of course, are trying to distance themselves. They've been doing this for far too long. But now they're being exposed. They don't want to be exposed, but here we are. And they don't like it. Now, the WEF is allegedly investigating. Okay, so whatever you're... If that means anything to you. But that's what's underway right now. Now, of course, over these last few days, we've seen a lot of individuals not get arrested, but also kind of distancing themselves from the Epstein scandal, but also apologizing. As we reported yesterday, Bill Gates admitting to having two affairs with two Russian women, though. He says women, and he apologized for that. But the reality of it is, again, we've seen the emails. According to Epstein himself, there was more to that. There wasn't just women. Wasn't just two women. Now, again, all men are claiming that they never saw any wrongdoing. Of course, they just like to hang out with Jeffrey Epstein because they all needed money from Epstein. And that's what he gave them, was just money. You'd have to be an idiot to believe any of that, but they're hoping you're just as dumb as they are. Let's shift gears a little bit to the autopsy. As many of you guys know, the circumstances surrounding Epstein's death was obviously very controversial. Why? Well, because... like I've reported exclusively, the Board of the Bureau of Prisons is saying we don't have any of his recordings, his final phone call that he made. As many of you guys know, I reported that I submitted a FOIA request for that recording. The federal government turning me down, saying that they actually didn't have that recording. Again, that's extremely strange. And I'm someone who speaks to folks in prison quite often. And I could promise you that as soon as you answer that call, it tells you that the line is being recorded. So it's strange that just hours before his passing, they weren't recording that call. Epstein apparently told guards again that he was speaking to his mother, but his mother had died 15 years prior, so that doesn't make sense. And the reason why that's so important, it's important to know his frame of mind. Where was he at right before he allegedly killed himself? Now, of course, they're not going to tell us that. They don't want us to know. They just want us to buy the narrative. Remember when they released the security footage that you see here on your screen, and there were a couple minutes clipped out of all of it? And then at one point around 10 p.m., I believe it was, you see like an orange jumpsuit go on by. And then moments later, Epstein allegedly killed himself. Again, all very suspicious. But what's even more suspicious is what we're learning about the autopsy report. And yesterday, Fox actually did a pretty good job at revealing some of that information in clip two. Take a listen.
Why would the chief medical examiner have to sign an NDA after examining Epstein's body? Is that standard practice?
This is the first time we've seen this related to a giant case, but I can tell you some things that don't make sense for the medical examiner's office. We know that the chief medical examiner didn't perform the autopsy. She had an individual in her office perform the autopsy. And the noose that was at the center of this, Michael Bodden, the forensic pathologist who was hired by Jeffrey Epstein's brother to observe the autopsy, said that there was no blood on the noose, even though there's blood on Jeffrey Epstein's neck in the photographs. Hmm. We're learning from the documents that the guard who cut Jeffrey Epstein down says he's not sure where which noose was given to the investigators. And DNA testing was done. It may have been on the wrong ligature. It may have been done on the wrong noose.
Yeah, so that doesn't seem to make any sense, folks. We all know this. And we're just supposed to eat up the narrative that they fed us and hope for the best. Again, the security cameras, they claim, weren't working that day. Remember that? Remember that? So we wouldn't actually have clear sight of his cell. Again, you know, the FBI director and the former deputy director said that what they saw in the file points to suicide. Now, the reason why that's so important, I know a lot of people are jumping on and they were going after both the director, Kash Patel, and the former deputy director, Dan Bongino, for just that. But I have been telling you from the very beginning that I have heard that there was pieces of evidence that were deleted in all of this that was done by the previous administration. And guess what? Guess who's right? I'm right. I was always right. You know why? Because I have great sources. People who are close to the case were telling me that there was pieces of evidence that were deleted before this new administration took over. Now, obviously, that's criminal, one would say. And sadly, still, we have no arrests thanks to the DOJ, which, again, is the one who's really, I would say, is the one who's at fault when it comes to the Epstein scandal itself. The absolute failure of the release of these files is due to the DOJ. Obviously, there's partial blame on for the FBI, but I don't believe that's a leadership issue. I believe that's just the bad apples that still haven't been purged out. But hear me out. I told you that there was evidence that was deleted. Now, it's not just relevant to the Epstein files. There's other pieces of evidence that have been deleted. We knew this. The administration that was previously occupying the White House was never going to allow you to see the deep state mess that they created. They created this monster. All of the same characters that were floating with the, obviously, the Epstein scandal. Well, guess what? They were all wrapped up into this. It is all the same situation that we have underway right now. And it's not a conspiracy. We know that they deleted evidence. This FBI knows that they deleted evidence. This leadership at the FBI knows they deleted evidence. And now members of Congress know just that. Anna Paulina Luna was a great woman, by the way, a great congresswoman from the beautiful state of Florida. Well, guess what? She just outed everything. She exposed the deleted evidence, and it's something that many officials were really just trying to dodge speaking about. But she confirmed what I've been telling you about for months now. Take a listen to clip three.
How can they be confident that the Attorney General, Bondi, leading this charge, or others who are in charge of providing documents, that they really will do so in the interest of justice?
Well, I think that, for starters, you have a bipartisan oversight committee actually working to not cover up, but actually go into all of this, right? We're interviewing the Clintons tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But to be clear, I mean, the destruction of evidence occurred under previous administrations. And that in itself, if you look at the network that was involved with Jeffrey Epstein, I mean, to think that there aren't shady things happening in your government, I think would just be a lie to the American people. The fact is that we did have someone come forward. They did say that there was destruction of evidence under the former deputy director of the FBI. And even if you're looking at the original plea deals that Jeffrey Epstein was given, you know, when he was first charged and then also more recently when he then committed suicide in New York, I mean, he should have never gotten off. He should have never had his sentences dropped down to the way that he did. Mm. And there are marks of intelligence surrounding this as well, whether it was foreign or, you know, our own. But I don't think that we're ever going to get the full picture.
Yeah, we're never going to get the full picture. Why? Because they deleted it. I'm sure there's someone out there, someone high up within the deep state that has copies of all of that. They wouldn't just delete all of it. They'd make sure to keep the blackmail and make sure the next administration coming in doesn't have access to that. That is the reason why President Trump's name keeps popping up in the files. It doesn't have any legitimacy, but the reason for it all is they wanted to make sure that if he made good on his campaign promise, which was to release the Epstein files, that it was going to create some type of speculation that maybe he had some involvement in all of this.
So this is what we see unraveling right now. And I wish the administration did a better job at delivering the message. I don't see a reason to hide this. Why not go out there and say, once we got into our positions, a lot of the key evidence was in fact erased? Because then the American people would be a little bit more understanding. We demand accountability, though, but we'd be a little bit more understanding and not be so aggressive towards this administration. But they have failed completely. And we're also hearing, obviously, more reports that the DOJ has not actually released all the files. There are reports that just dropped in the Wall Street Journal that there was testimony, three women who came forward, and their claims were not released in any of these files. So while we sit back and we demand accountability, the DOJ is doing its very best to cover for the machine that this administration promised it was going to expose and hold accountable. Zero criminal indictments as of right now. See, this is why the American people are so fired up. If you didn't want a bunch of black pillars going after this administration, guess what? You have to do something. You can't just sit back and allow all this to happen. That's what's going on right now. Those that are responsible for erasing evidence, they need to be arrested. We need mugshots. The reality of it is no one's getting perp walked anytime soon. They continue to just put the information out there. It's like rage bait at this point. Everyone's fired up. Everyone's angry. When you read the details as to what they've released so far, the American people are ready to go to war with the intelligence agencies. There's no way you continue to allow this to happen. They raped children. They murdered children. They tortured children. You don't just move on from this and pretend like it didn't happen. Our government is playing a very key role still to this day in the cover-up. And they just look us all in the eye and tell us, we've given you everything. But they haven't. We know they haven't. And that's why we have people shifting blame. Again, President Trump has nothing to hide. We know that he wasn't wrapped up into any of this. We know that he was on the right side of everything. We know that he tried to help law enforcement go after Epstein. And yet here we are. Pam Bondi was behind the cover-up in Florida when this was all going down years ago. And here she is leading the DOJ now under this next cover-up. And again, folks, this is the reason why it is so critical to expose. Pam Bondi was confirmed, and she was confirmed. It was actually a very cushy confirmation hearing for her. Why? Well, because they didn't ask her really any tough questions. She slid on in. And now you know why. The DOJ is the core of the corruption when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein. And again, I've told you, I knew that although I will not 100% say that the FBI is not at fault, I will tell you this. I know the key core issue in all of this for both Dan Bongino, the former FBI director, and Kash Patel was releasing these Epstein files. And they were set up for failure. But it's enough with the talk. It's enough with talking about documents and pieces of evidence being erased. We need arrests. But unfortunately, those arrests don't come if the DOJ doesn't do their jobs. I will not defend what you saw here on your screen, but I will tell you that this was a setup. Folks, we have more to discuss in just a bit, like the lawfare that's being exposed again. In the meantime, though, I want to remind you all to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have a flash sale going on just for a couple more hours right now. Methylene red is 50% off when you purchase methylene blue, and that is 25% off. So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and grab some today.
RFK Jr. mixes something into his drink, people pay attention. Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water? Methylene blue. Mel Gibson also praised methylene blue on Joe Rogan recently.
This stuff works, man.
A stimulant stimulates cells themselves to turn the cell up. This turns the energy up. That's why there's no letdown. That's why you can take this and go to sleep, too. But you sleep better on it, in my experience.
No, I really like it. I'm going to have to get on this stuff.
Here, show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I just kind of feel like I'm sitting up straight more. I'm thinking more. The thoughts are coming in easier. I'm making decisions faster. And it really does. And it gives you clean energy.
When I'm talking, it seems like it's not really me talking. I can hear my talking and going, wow.
I agree. It's almost like an out-of-body experience. It's like you're behind yourself.
That is what it feels like. But my brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
Yeah!
I feel more energetic. I feel more alive.
I found that within 30 minutes of taking it, I have improved focus, improved short-term memory, improved energy. But if I take it late in the day, it doesn't interfere with my ability to sleep, which is very rare for something like this. I get a tingly feeling in my fingertips. It's almost like it's improving my circulation.
I feel tingling fingers.
Methylene blue radically increases glucose uptake in the brain.
Okay.
So it makes you better and more efficient at using your sugar. We all know the brain uses like 25% of the calories in the body or something.
Sure.
Crazy.
They've done studies that chess masters burn like 5,000 calories in a day in a tournament because they're so focused on directing energy to their mind as they're thinking so critically that it's like almost like an Olympic athlete.
Well, think about this stuff. It operates in a very similar way. That's the real thing Methylene Blue does. I really believe in this product. A lot of people have bought our Methylene Blue. Our Methylene Blue is incredible. I take it personally. But yeah, I mean, like, this is a solid product. Take this in the morning. A couple hours later, you'll experience the cognitive benefits of it.
I mean, it's so good, it's scary. It's just amazing. So yes, it really does work. It varies person to person, but it's amazing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. I must say that it does a damn good job.
99% of people that take it have between moderate to just insanely good effects. So good for your whole body.
Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now. I'm a practicing dentist, so I have more patients to treat coming up. So I'm always looking for that afternoon boost without the slump.
With this, it's like in your head where you're like, you can feel it. Your body's a little tingly, but you're just more aware of what's going on.
I would definitely recommend the Alex Jones Methylene Blue here. It's great stuff. So thank you, Alex. Keep it coming.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Thursday, everyone. As many of you guys know, we just keep learning more and more about what the Biden regime was doing behind the scenes to go after President Donald Trump. And it wasn't just limited to the President of the United States. They were trying to take down some of his top allies. And they didn't really care. They didn't really care about the PR pushback on all of this. This is criminal behavior. But of course, bear with me. I'm sure nothing will truly come of it. It feels like they give us more and more in the way of information, but it's all just rage bait at this point because we're learning about how the FBI subpoenaed the phone records for the current FBI director, Kash Patel, and obviously the current White House chief of staff. That would be Susie Wiles. Now, this happened in 2022 and 2023 when both of them were private citizens. So, again, why would they do this? Why would they do this? It was a part of their investigation, as they like to put it, into the classified documents case at Mar-a-Lago, as well as the allegations
that he tried to overturn the 2020 election. Now, folks, it's not just that. When you look into all of this, it's quite clear what they actually did. They actually were recording Susie Wiles' phone calls with her own attorney. Attorney-client privilege doesn't matter. No. They don't care. And the worst part about it is apparently her attorney knew and didn't even tell her, according to several reports. Now, it gets really, really bad. Like, really, really bad. When you go through the details of all of this, it's quite concerning as to why they did it. And they didn't care. Now, Cash Patel described the actions as outrageous and deeply alarming. Deeply alarming. Most would probably describe this as criminal. But I don't think even Cash Patel thinks that they're going to make an arrest, even though he was targeted in all of this. You see, right now we have a DOJ playing footsie with the deep state because they're too afraid to go after them. How much more of this do we actually need to see? I mean, that's the reality behind this. We've seen enough. I don't know how else to put this. I don't know how many more John Solomon reports we have to sift through. They're not doing their jobs, folks. They're not doing their jobs. And the president continues to praise Pam Bondi because, as you saw during her testimony in front of Congress, when she gets up there, she talks about how great the economy is under President Trump. By the way, the White House, when it comes to the White House, exactly, they really do care about the economy-related issue. That is their key win for them. So everyone knows the part of the administration to drill home the point that the economy is doing great. That's why you saw Pam Bondi doing just that. And that's the reason why she earned the praise of President Trump in a Truth Social post after her testimony. Again, no arrests have been made. No arrests. Don't give me that nonsense that there was three. No. We have no mugshots. Two of those didn't stick. And that was scraping at the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the accountability tour. So right now, two of the top officials currently in the Trump administration have proof that they were in fact targeted by the Biden regime. And why was the Biden regime so emboldened to do this? Well, because they know nothing's going to happen. They know nothing is going to happen. Prove me wrong. I would love to be proven wrong on this issue. But these people know that they are still running the show, that this DOJ, this FBI, everyone's operating out of fear. They are too afraid to go after the machine. And so they might throw a couple little local officials who are being arrested, but they'll never go after the top dogs. They'll never go after the top dogs. And they knew this. And whatever was said on those phone calls that were recorded and turned over to the Biden regime, I'm sure it's a lingering blackmail scheme. There's no justification for any of this. There's no justification for any of this. By the way, and you'll love this post, I shared a screenshot on X if you guys caught on to this. But after hearing about all of this, the FBI director apparently fired at least half a dozen FBI agents who were participating in all of this. Now, this is my favorite part. We'll keep this on the screen for a second. This comes to us from all the great journalists at NBC News. The FBI, the direction of Director Cash Patel, has fired at least a half a dozen agents tied to the 2022 search of President Trump's home. Again, it's all tied into the subpoenas that were used to go after Cash Patel and Susie Wiles. But take a look at this line. How are they able to be so confident on this report? Well, of course, six people familiar with the matter told that to NBC. So about a half a dozen were fired and six people confirmed it to NBC. Well, when you look at the numbers, I could only assume that those six people who were fired were the ones linking to the media. So I guess the FBI director got it right. He fired the six people who are possibly talking to the media. Yeah, those are the kind of people you don't want working for you. Those who will cozy up to the corporate media machine. Folks, and here's the other problem too with all of this. You see, The deep state understood this quite well. You don't fire these people. You actually place them on an unpaid suspension and you keep the investigation ongoing for years because now they have a case to file a lawsuit and go after the FBI. If you didn't do that, you kept them as employees of the agency, forced them out, forced them broke and dried, financially, of course, dry them out financially, you would essentially avoid a civil lawsuit. The director knows this. In fact, he was the one advocating for all the key players who under the Biden regime were targeted and they decided to put them on ice. So he knows that was the strategy. He's not using it. He's firing them. Now they're going to have a case. I'm pretty sure those individuals that have been terminated because they're trying to say, oh, they gave us no justification for the termination, which they don't have to do. But now they have a lawsuit that they could file. No, put them on unpaid suspension. Have an investigation that's ongoing. Leave them broke for years. And then eventually they'll have to quit. Because they'll have to be able to supply their families with food, shelter, you know, all the basics. But they didn't care when it was Garrett O'Boyle, Steve Friend, Kyle Serafin. Like, no one else cared. It was just let them starve. So now under this administration, again, they're just... It's just like an L after an L after an L. And they continue to tell us they have to play by the rules. The last administration doesn't play by the rules. And we know that they don't care about playing by the rules. Why? Well, there's another report out about that, too. The DOJ sought to brief Joe Biden on their plans to raid Mar-a-Lago before it occurred. Remember, on August 8th of 2022. It's according to a newly unclassified FBI email. So several of them. The internal messages show that the search was deliberately delayed until Biden could be briefed on it. And the White House counsel's office as well, of course. Now, Biden repeatedly claimed, by the way, in case you remember this, he repeatedly said, oh, I knew nothing. I knew nothing. But he did know. He knew. He was briefed on it. He was briefed on it. Maybe just given the fact that he wasn't there in the head. They probably told him and he forgot. But he was, in fact, brief, and the raid was delayed. Folks, this is what was going on behind the machine. We all knew this. You and I both knew this. We've been talking about this for years now. And sadly, everyone's just a bunch of cowards. They don't want to talk about this. They wanted to do nothing about any of this. And it was a well-orchestrated, very well-orchestrated attack. You know, I was listening yesterday, Chairman Loudermilk was speaking about Fannie Willis. And as I reported to you guys yesterday, Fannie Willis was in direct communications with the White House in regards to her RICO case that she was cooking up in Georgia, Falcetti. She was directly coordinating that with the White House. Again, we were told none of this. This was all coincidental. Everyone's independent. Everyone's working separately. Ignore, look the other way. Look the other way on the Nathan Wade bills, which say I met with the White House and then billed taxpayers for that in Georgia. Ignore that. This was all organic. This was all a bunch of advocates for people not being, being held to the same standards that you and I, of course, would be held to. These people are full of garbage and they're going to get away with it. They're going to get away with it. There's countless pieces of evidence. We're told, oh, just wait. It's got to go through the system. It's got to go. We're running down the clock here. We're running down the clock here. They keep saying, too, as if we're all dumb and we don't get it. They keep telling us all these little snippets. These snippets about these leaks that go over to Just the News. That's the media outlet run by John Solomon. They keep giving him these little pieces of evidence about the weaponized federal government under the Biden regime. But then when we ask about it, specific cases, they tell us they can't talk about pending and ongoing cases. So whatever you see being leaked to outlets like Just the News, you could just at this point assume, since they're handing it directly to them, you could just probably assume that there's nothing happening here because they can't talk about ongoing investigations. They can't leak those documents. It's just so frustrating. It's just so frustrating that they think we're this dumb that we're just going to sit around and continue to watch what's unraveling and pretend like it's okay. Again, President Trump is being very quiet on the matter, and this is a guy who is well known for speaking out when he feels like his officials aren't doing the job that they should be doing. And so it's a real head scratcher why he continues to sit back and watch all of this as it unravels. I mean, I don't understand why. I'm sure you all at home are wondering why he's not speaking out on this. This isn't like a fringe movement. The vast majority of Americans want people like Fannie Willis locked up in prison. They want Joe Biden in prison. They want every single deep state operative that was doing all of the work behind the scenes in prison. By the way, there's still criminal referrals like that were handed over by James Comer sitting over at the DOJ right now. Auto pen. Statute of limitations not up on that. Nothing's happening. Of course, tell you there's grand juries going on. They'll tell you a little whisper here and there. But these people need to go to prison. There's no other way to look at this. There's no other way to look at this. It will happen again and again and again. Let's pivot a bit. We'll go back to the FBI topic in just a second. There's an investigation that's ongoing right now regarding Cuban soldiers killing 4 people and wounding 6 others. Apparently, it was a Florida-registered speedboat that was entering Cuban waters. Now, again, this was the report that initially came out. Our own government really doesn't have much in the way of details on this. They tell us that they're going to be looking into it. But according to the Cuban government, they identified the 10 passengers as armed Cuban nationals living in the United States, claiming they were attempting to infiltrate the island to carry out terrorism. That's the claim coming from the government right now. Now, spare me. I highly doubt that 10 people would think that they could take down the Cuban government and would go on guns blazing. Doesn't make sense, especially what we know historically. Mark Rubio is talking out about this right now, and it's been quite interesting to sit back and listen to. In clip 4, this is his briefing he gave to the American people yesterday. Take a listen.
So this morning, we were made aware by Cuban authorities of an incident off the coast of Cuba. We immediately began to look into it. As it stands now, the Department of Homeland Security, the Coast Guard, others are involved. The majority of the information we still possess is what Cuban authorities are providing both the public and the U.S. government. We have our embassy on the ground in Havana working this as we speak, asking for access to the people that were on those vessels, if they were American citizens or permanent residents. According to the Cuban regime, the boat was registered in Florida. We're tracking that down. We will know shortly, and we will know quickly, many more facts about this incident than we know right now. The majority of the facts are Cubans. We will verify that independently, and we'll, as we gather more information, then we'll be prepared to respond accordingly. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to opine on what I don't yet know, but we're going to find out exactly what happened here, and then we'll respond accordingly.
Yeah, so we're going to sit here and wait for this. I suspect these were probably not people trying to overthrow the Cuban government. Doesn't really make sense. Doesn't really make sense. And let's be honest, folks, the Cuban military is not very sophisticated. So it's quite likely that this was just a mistake. And sadly, it cost 4 people their lives. So we'll have to sit back and wait and see what is said on this front. But again, President Trump has been very, very straightforward with how he feels with the Cuban government and how they are the next government on his radar in regards to going after them to get them to free the Cuban people. I was listening to Rubio yesterday speak, and he was talking about restoring and helping Venezuela's economy. I don't really care for any of that. I don't really care for any of that. I understand that Rubio's focus is obviously on foreign policy, but we, the American people, need our situation currently fixed before we could go around and force other countries to submit to the Trump agenda. I want to talk about J.D. Vance, because yesterday he held a press conference with Dr. Oz. It's clip 5 that I want to play for you. He announced that there's a lot of money that's going to be withheld due to the, the fraud in Minnesota. You know, so many officials look the other way on this issue. And then there's other officials yesterday. I also saw Keith Ellison is pretending to hold press conferences at the AG in Minnesota. And he's pretending to care about the issue now all of a sudden, because obviously They're all wrapped up into the scandal itself. But in clip five, the VP detailed his latest plans to go after the Medicaid funnel fraudsters who've been funneling the cash to their own private pockets. Take a listen.
We're announcing today that we have decided to temporarily halt certain amounts of Medicaid funding that are going to the state of Minnesota in order to ensure that the state of Minnesota takes its obligations seriously to be good stewards of the American people's tax money. Now, what is this going to mean? What this means is that, first of all, the providers on the ground in Minnesota have actually already been paid. The state has paid those providers the money. What we're doing is we are stopping the federal payments that will go to the state government until the state government takes its obligations seriously to stop the fraud that's being perpetrated against the American taxpayer.
Hear me out. I've actually been waiting to see the DOJ's announcement. Remember when the DOJ came out and said that they were creating a private division that was going to be hyper-focused on going after the fraud? I still haven't seen who that AG that they named is, and that's the really cliff note, or cliffhanger, I guess I should say, on all of this. They still haven't yet announced that. And $259.5 million is a lot of cash, but that's just scraping the top. I mean, there's so much more to be said there. And again, a lot of these businesses, right, when they're being exposed by these independent journalists, and not all of these independent journalists, by the way, I've seen some of them, they're not doing thorough investigations, and so just be mindful of that. But those that are actually doing thorough investigations, I know Nick Shirley has spent a lot of time on this. I've spoken to people who are close to him, and they said he actually did take a very long time to sift through the information and validate before he went to these businesses. There's other journalists doing great work as well. But they could quickly just change their names and pivot to new businesses. And I'm sure a lot of these people aren't even legally here. I'm sure a lot of these people who were brought in by the Biden regime, I'm sure a lot of those people too are not using their full names, not using their real names. And so they're very quickly shifting over. So it's worth just, you know, keeping our eye on the fraud and exposing what's next there. All right, let's pivot a little bit. I think I'm probably the only one talking about this story besides me and Raheem Kassam, because this is, it's a really important story. And it's sad to me that now I have to report that Democrats are the one that are leading the investigation into all of this. As many of you guys know, I've talked about the individual who was leading the antitrust division over at the DOJ. Her name is Gail Slater. She's an incredible woman. I've known her personally. She worked at Fox previously. I was very excited for her to get the nomination. She was confirmed by both Democrats and Republicans for that position, which is quite impressive. And she's a patriot. She took on this role, took a massive pay cut to take on this position over at the DOJ because she wants to create a better country for her family, for her kids. Well, sadly, she's no longer a part of the DOJ because she was pushed out. We know this. We know this. Well, the House Judiciary Committee is now opening an investigation into all of this. And sadly, it's being done by Democrats because this is going to be something that they could use for their political advantage. Ranking members Jamie Raskin and Jerry Nadler are now leading this probe, requesting an immediate briefing from the Attorney General Pam Bondi regarding the forced resignation of the Assistant Attorney General Gail Slater. Now, she was forced out on February 19th. And I know this. I know this. Gail's an incredible woman. She gave me comments after she was pushed out of the agency. And she's a classy woman, doesn't really want to say much, doesn't want to badmouth anyone. But that didn't stop people from going out there and leaking strategically pieces of information for them to go after her with. And if you're wondering why Democrats are looking into all of this, well, there's allegations. And again, I'm not going to even say the person's name because these are all allegations. And it's somebody who I think is a respectable person, somebody who has spent a long time in D.C. politics. But they're accusing it to be possibly a pay-to-play scheme, even though this person wasn't internally working over at the DOJ at the time and still isn't. But he did have clients who were heavily interested in getting some, they use his words carefully. He did have clients that were involved in the antitrust division who had cases over there. Democrat lawmakers are expressing concern over Slater's ousting. Now, this, of course, is coming from, again, Raheem Kassam, who's talking to a lot of key sources in all of this. And they're going to be looking in to see if there really was a pay-to-play scheme going on here. The National Pulse, who's been writing about this, has been doing great reporting on the issues, highlighting the infighting going on right now within the Trump administration's DOJ. And again, Gail Slater is a great woman. And so seeing her personally pushed out of the DOJ, I have to say, was heartbreaking. One of the many signs that I do not have faith in the DOJ. And so we'll see what they pull up from all of this. But again, it's just another loss. Another loss. There are so many people who are leaving. Some people who have left. They hit their 1-year mark and they're just done. They're done. Because it's swampy in D.C. right now. It's very, very swampy. And it's because, well, there's a lot of money going around. And so we'll continue to watch this, obviously, as it unravels. And I'll bring you the very late. It just breaks my heart that I've got to report that Democrats are the ones initiating this. Because we all know why they're doing it. It's for a political win for them. Speaking of money, let's talk to the money woman herself, Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi. She said something that gave me a good chuckle this morning in clip 6. Take a listen.
And it's the only position, Speaker of the House of Congress that is mentioned in the Constitution of the United States. At the time, I was, too, the highest paid person on Capitol Hill as a woman. That was a big deal. Not that I was there for the money.
The woman's worth, like, what, $400 million? Has one of the best stock portfolios anyone's ever seen. In fact, companies like BlackRock, they keep their eye on her stock portfolio. In fact, I was doing a story, this is years ago, on Nancy Pelosi's stock trading. This is before people were really talking about it. And I wanted to see, was it a massive win? Well, I followed her husband's moves, which are publicly available, by the way. So this is an insider trading. And it was quite impressive. I mean, I tripled my money within a couple of weeks. You got to keep your eye on how Congress is shifting their funds. Those reports are public. And again, if they're not going to stop trading, then you should start using them as your financial advisors. Folks, all the top financial people strongly rely on those public disclosures. So don't leave it. Don't leave out of any of this. Like, make your money. You might as well. You might as well. And again, it's not illegal. Yeah, maybe it's unethical. But it got me a couple Louis Vuitton bags. And I did it as a joke for one of the shows I was producing for when I was digging into all of this. And to show how much financial gains I've had on all of it, I just stacked up my Louis and said, look at this. This is what Nancy Pelosi could do for you. She won't do anything else, though, but you can at least do this. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have our flash sale going on for a little bit longer. Of course, again, it's all about methylene blue and methylene red. When you pair up the two, you're going to get incredible discounts. 25% off the blue, 50% off the red, only at thealexjonesstore.com. Head there today.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease, and you, what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue, and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it, and like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there.
You're jumping on with us for the second hour of the program. A lot happening here. A lot more stories we'll be diving into. We'll also be taking your calls in a little bit. If you want to dive into the calls and maybe talk about the stories we've discussed thus far, 877-789-2539. We'll start diving into calls in about 30 minutes. So if you want to get on the lines, 877-789-2539 is the number to call into, of course. The stories that come out, sometimes I have to, like, double check things before I run them, because it feels like it's a parody sometimes, or it just feels like it feels like it's a fake news story. It feels like someone's pushing something just for clickbait, rage bait. And then I look into it, I'm like, this is pretty bad, because it's real. It's real. Take a look at this story. There's a registered sex offender in California, and of course this happens in California, who's looking to run to be on the Fresno City Council. Yeah. Rene Campos has announced his candidacy for District 7. He's looking to take on that seat. Now, when you look into his background, of course, and, that's a little pedophilia in California. In 2018, Campos faced charges for possession child sex abuse material. Now, he pled no contest to that. It's apparently a misdemeanor because they don't take sex crime seriously in California. He looks creepy, probably a member of the rainbow community, if I had to assume. But of course, they're going to dress him up and pretend like he's a legitimate candidate. He thinks that sex crimes are forgivable and something that you could recover from. Now, I'd probably say if you're getting off on child pornography, you're probably someone we should just throw into the ocean and let the sharks have at you. But, you know, we live in strange times where people don't actually think that's what should take place. No, he wants to actually be on the city council. I'm sure then he'll get access to voting in key positions on a lot of very controversial things. See, this is the problem, folks. They are trying their very best, and it's happening largely in California, to normalize pedophilia. Oh, forgive him. Come on. He was just trying to, you know, enjoy some child sex abuse material, whatever that means. These people are garbage human beings, man. Real garbage human beings. And we have people who are in powerful positions who claim to really be trying to push back and fight for sexual assault survivors and children who have been sexually abused. And yet for some reason, we don't have a serious members of, I mean, there's a couple of them who are less than a dozen, who are trying to push and make sure that on a federal level that we can actually put these people to death. And they'll present pieces of legislation to do that, but sadly, nobody wants to push it through. These people are animals. They're animals. I actually probably shouldn't call them animals because I actually like animals. These people are demons. You see, if we were a real society that truly cared about justice for children and sexual assault survivors, we'd fly them out on a helicopter and just drop them into the middle of the Pacific. Good luck out there. And that's it. No cost to taxpayers besides maybe fuel for the helicopter. But they would be doing a great service to society. And here's the thing, too, by the way. I actually don't even want it for all of them because I actually know of people who have told me before that our own federal government plans child pornography on people's devices when they want to go after them. So it'd have to be the worst of the worst, right? It'd have to be those who are actually raping children. We've got the DNA proof to prove just that. Maybe they're raping children and filmed it. Those are the people that go straight to the Pacific. I don't understand why this is so controversial. There's no,
It's the most horrific crime to commit when you go after a child and you victimize a child. And yet here we have people who claim to be against it, but yet they won't do what's necessary. So if you live in Fresno, California, good luck. You got a pedo running for office. All right, folks, more to discuss in just a bit. Again, if you want to call into the show, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. That is 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in about 25 minutes. And I've got a ton of stories to catch you up on in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Yeah, they don't want you connecting these dots. They definitely don't want you connecting these dots. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. But Larry Summers is officially resigning from Harvard amid the Epstein fallout. Well, would you look at that? Would you look at that? As many of you guys know, the former Treasury Secretary and Harvard President is leaving his teachings because, well, and it's got the end of the academic year, of course, because, I mean, they're not going to specifically say Epstein, but, you know, in his quote, he says, "I will always be grateful to thousands of students and colleagues I've had the privilege to teach and work with since coming to Harvard." Goodbye, Summers. You see, this is the thing. This is what they're doing. They're all slowly dropping like flies, but not in the sense that we want, right? We want arrests. We want these people to be held accountable. We want these people to be put in cages for what they did to children, allegedly. We don't know if Larry Summers did it, by the way. I shouldn't automatically assume guilt. I could just say, I don't like the guy. He's a pretty scummy guy. But again, their names are all popping up in the Epstein files. But look the other way. Look the other way. That's what they want you to do right now. So that's happening. That's happening. All right, let's get a little bit of positive news in. I'm going to play clip 7 for you because this was actually kind of shocking and it might catch you off guard. You might actually fall off your seat when you hear this clip. This clip comes to us courtesy of the Michigan governor, Gretchen Whitmer, who actually, get this, thanked President Trump for helping her out and her state out in their economic investments. Take a listen.
Michigan is open for business. New factories making batteries, cars, chips are opening in Marshall, Lake Orion, Holland, Bay City, Calumet, Hemlock, Ann Arbor, and Delta Township. A new fire mission is coming to Selfridge Air National Guard Base in Macomb County. Probably not on the bingo card, but I want to thank President Trump for his work on this.
Wasn't on my bingo card, but, you know, we'll take a win. And I have to say, that's awesome that she actually gave the president credit because so many Democrats are too afraid to do just that. But there's no other excuse. Like, what else are you going to say? You're going to pretend like you did this yourself? No, of course, it was the president who brought those jobs back in. It's another victory for the MAGA movement. Again, it's kind of like on the rocks these days, but I still want to be excited about something. So we'll say it's part of the MAGA movement. A good win, a good win. Folks, we'll be taking your calls in just about 20 minutes, 877-789-2539. That is the number to call and join the show. Again, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Now let's get to this one. You know, Gavin Newsom this is what the left does, right? Whenever they get caught up in a scandal, they just blame everyone else except themselves. There's no blame for their own. But, yeah, they should blame everyone else. I want to get to this clip because Gavin Newsom, who made a lot of... he made a really ridiculous comment. I mean, the guy's a racist. Democrats are racist. They view black Americans as just less than them, uneducated. You see, when black Americans are given tools, they are able to utilize those tools, and they're not uneducated. But when you live in a shell and you are someone who is always trying to go with labels, pretend like you're not a racist when you really are, because we all know Democratic policies actually do more to bring black Americans down rather than elevate them, you don't realize that you're saying something that's racist. So Gavin Newsom went out there and was pretty much telling everyone that he's a moron, that he in fact got low SAT scores, and tried to use that as a way to rationalize and be relatable to black Americans. And everyone clapped who was in the room, but I don't know why they did. Not a good look. They didn't pan to the audience. So I don't know if it was just a bunch of white liberals when he made those comments. But now Gavin Newsom is trying to blame those comments that he directly made himself. Like, no one provoked him to make those comments. But of course, now it's MAGA, and it's the weaponization of MAGA going after him. Take a listen to clip 8 and how he's trying to do a PR spin on his racist comments.
MAGA is currently having an absolute meltdown on social media over comments you made on your book tour in Atlanta. And you said, just to remind people, while talking about your experience, you said, I'm like you, I'm a 960 SAT guy. Right-wingers and on Twitter and Fox News hosts and some even Republican elected officials have said that's racist. I mean, what goes through your head when you saw that commentary sort of building and bubbling?
Well, they didn't say it when I talked to Charlie Kirk and said the exact same thing, or the dozens and dozens of other occasions where I've said exactly the same thing. It was a hell of a statement, particularly from people that have been countenancing racism in their party for decades. The same pundits, Sean Hannity, let's call them out by name, that didn't say one word, still haven't said a word, about the racist videos that were put out about Michelle Obama and Barack Obama. Nothing. Not one word of condemnation of President of the United States that put out those racist videos or shithole countries or the birther issues. Not a word said we're offended by someone who writes a book about learning disabilities and struggles academically and then expresses them in a mixed audience and somehow accuses that person of patronizing or somehow demeaning or being racist himself. That's a hell of a statement of the weaponization and the propaganda, the network, this machine that these folks have. And I'll tell you, forget me, put anyone else. This is what we're up against in this country. It goes to why I've shifted my social media. It's why we've been much more aggressive in our approach and why Democrats more broadly have to shift gears. Conventional politics no longer applies. The right is ruthless. They're shape-shifting the conversation. They're defining the terms of debate. We're consistently on our heels. We have got to stay on our toes. We have to stay vigilant. And this is just a reminder of that. And in many ways, I was more prepared than I've been in the past, but it is a reminder still that we've got to raise the bar further.
Yes. You MAGA folks are ruthless out there. You see, Gavin Newsom says things while looking at black Americans and tells them, I'm just one of you. I'm not capable of passing my SATs. Folks, I say this too, by the way, as a woman who, got into community college. Wasn't exactly a landslide for me either. And I'm dyslexic. Surprise, surprise. If you watch the show every day, you probably tell at this point. But guess what? I don't look at minorities and tell them, I'm one of you. It's just so outrageous. And by the way, there's a lot of people in this space, especially TV, who are dyslexic, but they don't go out there and pivot and look at black Americans and say, yeah, I can't pass my SAT scores. Yeah, I struggled to read a teleprompter. I'm one of you. It reminds me of the comments of Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, when she went out there and said, like, black kids in the Bronx can't get laptops or don't know anything about the internet. I think those were the comments. It's just how their party feels. And when they talk about there being a history of racism within the Republican Party, they're talking from a level of expertise, because Democrats and so many of their voters have no idea were the ones that enslaved black people, obviously, and Republicans were the ones that pushed back and fought for their freedom. But they don't like that narrative because it doesn't fit what they're trying to do. And so they have to pretend like they didn't say those things. You see, Gavin Newsom, he likes to sit there and pretend, I got a learning disability. You don't have a learning disability. You're just a moron. Don't sit there and put the blame on everyone else. We didn't do this. We definitely did not do this. And the best part is his shift in blaming MAGA. As if we were the ones, the knife behind his back, told him to say it. This guy's an absolute tool. But he's still not completely out of 2028, by the way. Like, don't sit here and look at comments like that and say, this guy's, he's got no shot. No, they've got a shot. Democratic voters are just as ignorant as they are. They're politicians. And that's why when they're looking at 2028, they don't have a clear line as to who they're going to put up. And that is obviously very concerning, but it's expected. We're talking about low IQ people. I actually put out a tweet yesterday. I know a lot of you saw this and enjoyed it. When I'm driving, especially in Austin, Texas, Dallas too is really bad. I'm watching as there's traffic jams and I'm wondering, why is there always traffic everywhere? You know why? Low IQ people. Let's just kind of rant about this for a second. When you're driving on highways, like 35 for an example, and you're in the left lane trying to pass people, there are people literally doing 65, 55 in the left lane. And they have no idea that everyone's cutting them off, that they're about to cause a car accident because they're not supposed to be there. We've given some of the dumbest people ever to exist driver's licenses. But this was all intentional, of course. That's the reason why the Biden regime intentionally brought them in from third world countries. People with not even high school, middle school educations are on our roads. And don't even get me started about the insurance lobby who decided to advocate for them all to get driver's licenses. You're dealing with some dumb human beings. I mean, I'm watching as people are just blowing stop signs and not even like trying to tap their brakes. But people literally just causing traffic jams, no care in the world. They're about to cause a massive car accident. It's because of the massive, massive amount of just low IQ people that we've imported over the years. And there's my girl, Savannah Hernandez, who will actually be on the show tomorrow in studio. Backing just that. She's been doing incredible reporting on the trucking issue that we have right now in this country. And she'll be joining us to expose just that. Because you'll be surprised, the Transportation Department not really doing what they're telling you they're doing in regards to getting these people off the roads. I was actually driving too. This is another thing. I was driving from Austin to Dallas. This is a couple of days ago. And I had to just call Savannah because I was like, Savannah, there's a truck behind me driving in the shoulder on 35 trying to pass all of us. Semi, by the way. Because he's upset because there's people in front of him who he wants to pass by. Savannah's done an incredible job at reporting on all of this. If you haven't seen her reports, we'll have her on tomorrow to break it all down for you. But no surprise. No surprise there. Speaking of dumb people, Kamala Harris, great pivot. She's the gift that keeps giving for those of us who work in both political commentary, obviously, and content creators. She gives you great sound bites. That's one of her positive qualities. But one of her negatives is probably that she's not very intelligent. But that makes her prime real estate when it comes to, obviously men looking to take advantage of her and elevating her within their own political party. They're looking for someone who will just allow them to do whatever they want and just be the smiling, heckling face they need. In clip 9, she does just that when talking about the SAVE Act. Take a listen.
What else have they done? The SAVE Act. You know what the SAVE Act would do? Require that people show a birth certificate or a passport to register to vote. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but it's something like 40% of Americans don't have those documents. Married women, if you changed your name when you got married, it's going to be different than what's on your birth certificate, right? And what that's going to do in terms of complicating the ability of women to register to vote. And so this is happening in real time to suppress and obstruct the ability of people to vote. And then my concern, frankly, Aaron, is that when we saw what happened in Minneapolis, I think we need to really understand that in addition to everything that was obvious about it, it might have been basically a demonstration and a beta testing of militarizing the streets of America to intimidate people against voting and using federal officials to intimidate people to not vote.
What kind of people, Kamala? What kind of people? You're not talking about Americans, Kamala. You're talking about illegal aliens. That's why you're saying people, because you'd say Americans if that's what you were talking about. But you're not. You're not. You want these illegal invaders to vote. That's the reason why you, Miss Border Czar, allowed millions of them into our country. This was your future voter base. That's why she's not throwing in the towel on 2020. She's hoping that mass deportations don't actually get carried through. That's why they set up all the obstacles that they've set up. 40%. 40% of people in this country can't get passports, don't have access to their birth certificates. Well, that's jarring. Absolutely jarring. Listen, if you're a woman who gets married, you know that you have to get your documents changed after you shift over your last name. So truth be told, guess what? It's just another thing you got to do and add to your to-do list. If you're an adult, you know that you have to do things like that. And would it really be a bad thing? Probably another argument for another day if women weren't able to vote. I mean, I know if I wasn't able to vote, I'd still have my voice heard. But people like Kamala Harris, do you really want them voting? The answer is no. The answer is always no. So more stupidity that the left is continuing to spew, no surprise at all there. Folks, I want to give you an update in regards to Tony Gonzalez. We keep covering this story because the congressman from Texas is under fire right now. And there's several individuals calling for his resignation, but because Republicans have a very thin majority right now in the House, several others are saying he shouldn't resign, but he definitely shouldn't win his primary that's going on right now in Texas. Now, hear me out. President Trump still has not pulled back his endorsement, which I think is an absolute disgrace, because Tony Gonzalez is quite obviously guilty of having an affair. Now, again, that is my opinion based on the text messages that have been released. His staffer, who later committed suicide, allegedly over the affair, his staffer was very obviously saying that she was taking it, quote, too far. So, again, this is what's going on right now in Texas. The text messages are very graphic, and I'll spare you of that, but they are sexually explicit text messages that coming from Tony Gonzalez's phone, allegedly, to his staffer. Now, again, on two occasions, his staffer told him that he was going too far, but he continued to do it. And just to highlight the fact, again, Congress has a long history of settling sexual harassment claims at your expense, of course, north of like $17 million worth that they cover up for. They won't tell you who specifically was charged in all of this or who was the one who was forced to cough up our cash to pay out these staffers. But there's more and more proof that Gonzalez is completely unfit to remain in office. Now, again, I do believe people are innocent until proven guilty, but Gonzalez had no problem coming out and saying at the very beginning of all of this, when the Daily Mail broke this story, they had no problem going out there and saying, well, he did, that no, he didn't have an affair with her. And now he's backtracking. Played the clip for you yesterday. Well, he won't even tell you if the text messages are his. And the text messages, again, look like they possibly were given over by the phone companies directly. Or it could be the husband of the woman who did take her life. But again, the woman here, by the way, and it's important to disclose this information, who set herself on fire, which is obviously a horrific way to lose your life. Very, very painful. She didn't die after setting herself on fire. In fact, she was alive when paramedics showed up. And according to reports, the paramedics reported that she alleged that her own husband had an affair. Now take, just remember that. Her husband, apparently, this is what they were saying, on her final breath, said that her husband had an affair with her best friend and she couldn't take the pain. Now, her husband's blaming Gonzalez for a lot of this. And in clip 10, he did an interview yesterday with CNN. Take a listen.
Of course, our Capitol Hill reporter, Gonzalez, says, look, you guys haven't seen all the facts. There's going to be ample time for all of that to come out. Does this change anything for you when, you know, when you go back to that Friday night in May? Does him saying that mean anything?
Actually, it makes me even angrier because, again, he's deflecting. And, you know, the man has no values. You know, he runs his whole campaign on family values and he runs everything, you know, saying that he's some family man. You know, he's actually quite of a sick man. You know, I have all the messages that shared between them two. And, you know, the things that, you know, I just released a tip of the iceberg of the things that this man was telling her. I released just what was, you know, enough information for the people to understand who this person and who they were dealing with. If I were to release everything, you know, it, I, again, my biggest thing is protecting my son. I will not release, you know, the salacious messages that went back and forth much deeper than what, and much more graphic, rather, than what I presented to the American people.
All right. So, as you're saying, there's a lot more that you say is there.
Right.
All right. So, as you're saying, there's a lot more that you say is there.
Right.
What will you do, absolutely, Adrian, if he doesn't resign, if he continues here? What will you do?
Well, I've already done my part, you know, as far as letting people know who he is. That's up to the people. As far, again, Aaron, this is not a political thing for me. I want everybody to know that. I don't care 2 cents about the whole political matter behind it. I don't care that, you know, it's 2 seats in the, I don't care about all of that. You know, I care about facts. I care about what he has done and how he's continued to lie on Regina's name. You know, he's sitting there and just, he's bold-faced lied about it, you know, about everything. And to say that the facts are going to come out, I would bet that he does not want me to release all of the messages that show how gross of a man he is.
So, you know, look, at the heart of this is just an incredible tragedy, right? Her death, your son not having a mother, just the horror of the tragedy of her death. Do you think that the alleged affair with Congressman Gonzalez was behind her tragic death?
Look, I'm not saying he's the one that went out there and did it himself, and I'm not saying that, but yeah, he played a role in it. You know, he predatorized my wife, you know, and he pushed her to the sense of having an affair. I mean, I made that evident in the messages that I released.
All right. Yeah. It's quite clear that, yeah, that's true. It does look like he pushed her to have an affair, but he also doesn't acknowledge the allegations that apparently he too is facing, that he was having an affair with her best friend. Now, again, that's something that I think is newsworthy, considering the fact he opened up by saying that Gonzalez is someone who runs on that he's a family man. Again, if these are true and he did actually sleep with her best friend, then, I mean, can you really be critical there? Sounds like it's a whole bunch of scummy people. But again, the reason why that I find this as concerning as it is I don't like to weigh in on people's personal sex lives. But I do think that when you're running for Congress and you are using your power to go after and target your staffers, then that is concerning. That is concerning. And that is something that should get you removed from office. But again, it's not just Tony Gonzalez. There's been others. I mean, you're dishing out over $17 million in our money to settle these claims of sexual misconducts. Then we should hear those names as well. Now, again, a lot of Republicans don't want him to resign because they're afraid of losing that very thin majority. And obviously, Tony Gonzalez knows that his seat is at risk, so he's going to vote in line and not try to piss off anyone else. But it's one of the many layers to all of this. Why do we allow this in the first place? It's absolutely shameful that Gonzalez is still running. He thinks he's someone who should keep his position in office. The text messages are absolutely vile, folks. And he is not someone who should remain in office. He does not represent Texans, and they need to toss him out. And President Trump needs to take back his endorsement. And whoever told him to endorse, by the way, these text messages just recently came about, but the allegations have been on the internet for months now. So it's an absolute shameful situation that we have going on right now, the president refusing to take back that endorsement. Folks, we'll be taking your calls in just a second. If you want to dive onto the list, 877-789-2539. The number to call, that's 877-789-2539. If you want to join the show, we will be taking your calls. In the meantime, though, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. Again, when you subscribe to all of our supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com, you get an incredible discount that you get to keep forever and ever and ever over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there right now. We have flash sales also going on today. When you buy both methylene blue and red, you get an incredible discount on both of those items. That is when you pair up. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. And I can't shut up about those energy shots. You got to try them. I'm making all my friends try them, and they love them.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, know me for a long time, said sure he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came
in because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at theologyshow.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, theoxygenstore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it on SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexShow.com. So,
yeah, it's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time, the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'll be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We're going live right now. Hillary Clinton is about to speak, it looks like, in New York. That's where she's doing her testimony right now, deposition. Let's take a look.
Or sent in a statement that they had never met Epstein and had no knowledge of the investigation except the Clintons. We worked for 6 months to get the Clintons to come in, and then they acted like they were going to come in, and then they didn't show up. And obviously we moved to hold the Clintons in contempt. And I think one thing that surprised the Clintons, they assumed the Democrats on the committee would vote in a partisan manner and not vote to hold the Clintons in contempt. And what they learned was a majority of the Democrats on the committee either voted to hold the Clintons in contempt or voted present. And I think that's a statement that this investigation is serious. It is a bipartisan investigation. The American people have a lot of questions. To my knowledge, the Clintons haven't answered very many, if any, questions about their knowledge or involvement with Epstein and Maxwell. Again, no one's accusing at this moment the Clintons of any wrongdoing. They're going to have due process. But we have a lot of questions, and the purpose of the whole investigation is to try to understand many things about Epstein. How did he accumulate so much wealth? How was he able to surround himself with some of the most powerful men in the world? Was he an asset for our government or any other government? These are the questions that we're going to ask over the next 2 days, and hopefully we'll be able to get some answers. And as always, we're going to release the transcripts. We're going to release the video as soon as everyone has approved it. The normal process in a deposition is the attorneys would have the opportunity to review the transcript and review the video to make sure that there are no errors. And this is going to be a long video because this is going to be a long deposition. Today will be a long deposition, I would assume, and tomorrow will be an even longer deposition. Every member of the Oversight Committee is going to have questions for the Clintons, as well as our trained staff that do nothing but deposition. So after our hour of questioning, we're going to send a couple of members of the Oversight Committee out to be able to give you an update of what's going on and answer some questions. So with that, we'll answer a question or two, and then we'll go back.
Mr. Comer, can I ask? Mr. Comer, are you concerned
that there has been a cover-up of sexual abuse of a minor by President Trump that are missing FBI records?
No, we're looking into the accusation by the NPR. We don't know the answer to that. We know what the administration says. We're still looking to get a definitive answer on that. But look, let's just be realistic here. If you go by a lot of what the Democrats have said, you had Jasmine Crockett accuse Lee Zeldin of taking donations from Jeffrey Epstein. It was the wrong Jeffrey Epstein. We've had Ro Khanna sit on the floor and name names of people that he thought were involved in Epstein that weren't even involved. So, sometimes the Democrats on the committee aren't the best investigators.
What about the idea, though, that I understand you say that this is different
than
some of the members or some of the people who were subpoenaed who didn't have a direct contact? Because some folks have said it seems like you were, the Clintons are basically on Trump versus people who know more about what was going on with Maxwell, what was going on with Epstein, and that this is really kind of dragging them through the mud with other witnesses.
Let's address that, Chad. The Democrats voted to subpoena the Clintons. The Democrats voted with the Republicans to hold the Clintons in contempt. So the Democrats have just as many questions for the Clintons as the Republicans. So this isn't a partisan witch hunt. This was a motion, a bipartisan motion supported by the Democrats to bring the Clintons in. So I don't think it's any type of being unfair in any way to the Clintons. They've never answered questions, unlike President Trump, who gets questioned every day by just about every one of you about his knowledge or involvement with Epstein. To my knowledge, the Clintons haven't answered very many questions.
Mr. Chairman, when you're in fear of bipartisanship, would you then ask the Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick to come testify? It seems like he has some information.
That's very possible, and I think it's a good possibility that his name will arise in some questioning today.
It'll maybe be on my list, and I have an email I printed off for Hillary to ask about Howard Lutnick today.
God's watching.
We're asking again, and I want to remind everyone, we've already brought in Alex Acosta and Bill Barr for deposition. That's two Republicans in the Trump administration. So this isn't just about Democrats. This is about anyone that has any knowledge of Epstein, the investigation. I think we all agree the government failed. The government failed the victims. And what our role is, we can't prosecute anyone. But what we have been doing is getting transparency to the American people. We subpoenaed the estate. That had nothing to do with the discharge petition. We subpoenaed the documents for the estate. That's what the victims asked us to do. And what you're seeing is there is accountability finally happening. You've seen at least a dozen very powerful people, men and women, who have already resigned, many in disgrace from their board positions. So we're seeing accountability, but we have a desire to see a lot more accountability. We want to get the answers, and hopefully the next 2 days will be a step in the right direction.
Do you expect to hear back?
One more.
What about Huffington? I mean, Hillary Clinton, says she has links to Jeffrey Epstein. She doesn't recall meeting him. So what specific information do you believe she has that warrants her testimony?
Well, you'll see. I mean, we're going to ask a lot of questions. But with respect to when you look at all the co-conspirators, and we've all seen the unredacted documents, Maxwell was the main co-conspirator. No one brought more women in and lied to more women about what was going to happen with their involvement with Jeffrey Epstein than Ghislaine Maxwell. We know that obviously Maxwell was a guest at Chelsea Clinton's wedding. There weren't many people that went to that wedding. So, again, we're not accusing Hillary Clinton of wrongdoing. We know that Jeffrey Epstein said many times in emails that he was the first person to raise money for the Clinton Initiative, the Clinton Foundation, that he solicited money at some of his properties for the Clinton Foundation. Again, that's not saying anything illegal, but there are a lot of questions pertaining to Secretary Clinton with respect to Epstein and his involvement in the Clinton Initiative and her relationship with Ghislaine Maxwell. So we'll come out every hour when we get finished, and different members will update you and answer any questions. Thank you.
Why weren't the Clintons forced to go to Washington and taxpayer expenses?
Exactly. That's a great question. Comer, don't go. Why are you all now making your way to New York? What a luxury, man. The Clintons tell them come to New York for this depo, and they do just that. They do just that. It's probably being paid for by you all at home, by the way, their transportation, those members of Congress, to make their way to New York. And that was a great question. A little upset that they didn't answer that, but it looks like Comer felt a little uncomfortable when he's asked about Howard Lutnick. As many of you guys know, the secretary is very much in the Epstein files, and he has constantly, like many of the other figures in the Epstein files, has distanced himself from Epstein as a whole. Now, again, he said, I mean, maybe we'll ask him to come forward. Of course, you need to ask him to come forward. Come on. I don't care about the political game here. Let's get everyone on the record. Now, again, this is a deposition, and there might be some information that is blacked out when they finally release those recordings, but I'll listen to them. You know, I'll listen to them in their entirety, even if it's a long one. Also keep in mind, too, you just heard Comer say we have to get the attorneys to approve before we can release the footage of the depots. So it'll be interesting to hear. We'll keep our eye to that, obviously. If more comes out, we'll bring it to you. But, you know, James Comer kind of asked a couple of difficult questions. Howard Lutnick should be called in by tomorrow to speak to the committee. And as he highlighted, too, he's not in charge of criminally charging anyone. Again, he's dropped over criminal referrals to the DOJ, and the DOJ has done nada, nothing. All right, let's start taking some calls. Let's dive into this one. Alex in Northern Virginia is the first one up on the list. Alex, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. Welcome back.
All right. Well. Okay, so Governor Spanberger here in Virginia had her Democratic State of the Union response to President Trump. And she asked three questions, which were pretty retarded. Number one, is President Trump working to make life affordable? Is President Trump working to keep us safe here and abroad? And is the president working for you? So my question is yes. And my response is, why did Governor Spanberger add all of these taxes to everything, including the energy bills, which a whole bunch of Virginians are complaining about right now as we speak? Is he working to keep us safe home and abroad? Of course he is. It's just everybody else isn't, and they're working against him. Is the president working for us? Of course he is. Why is dummy coming on after President Trump and asking these ridiculous questions? It was like 20 people there. You had to hear the applause. When the people clapped, it was an echo. This woman is ridiculous. Now, to touch on the driving issue, I firmly believe here in Virginia, and I went to two different DMVs to go look to check my assumptions. And sure enough, the people that are giving out the driving tests are foreigners. And I'm pretty sure they're, you know, from that area, which I'm not going to say because it'll make me sound racist, but they're somewhere from Africa. Now, that would explain why everyone out here drives like they're stuck on stupid. They do 55 in the speed lane. In the 25-mile-per-hour zone, they do 15 or 20. These people are dumb. They definitely do have a low IQ because I ask simple questions, then they look at me like I'm crazy.
Well, you're not crazy, Alex. You're not crazy.
There's a question in the Rumble chat. Brianna, please do not look at that Rumble chat. Good God, don't do it. Yeah. But there is a question in there, so I'm going to ask that question for that person. Somebody in the Rumble chat asked, who painted the blue dress, the dress of Clinton in the blue dress? That's an excellent question.
I think
they should look on the back of that painting, see who painted it, and go question that person. What do you think?
Might be Hunter Biden. Alex, it could be Hunter Biden's painting. I mean, that guy, I mean, he's not doing well these days. Business a little slow, I hear. But maybe it's one of the originals from our good friend Hunter Biden. Yeah, it's a real strange photo or painting itself. Yeah, I don't know who painted it, but I think it's a good question, a fair question to ask. Yeah, no, I'd go there. And for, by the way, I send my condolences regarding your governor's election. Abigail's not quite the brightest, but she is a CIA operative, and she doesn't actually deny that. She's very public about formerly working for the CIA, but there's no former. Usually, you're usually just pretty much with the CIA forever. So there's that, too. And you know what? I don't understand why Virginians didn't see this coming, honestly. I mean, Alex, I know you're pretty in tune with all of this, and you know when these things are happening. But so many people in Virginia, I mean, the big save to grace was when you guys elected the last governor, obviously a Republican. He wasn't great. He was obviously very rhino-ish, but he flipped it, and then they just lost it. So poor Virginia. I feel really bad for you guys. It's a beautiful state, and it continues to crumble because, well, Democrats hate America. Then they keep getting elected or maybe selected to higher office. And I also feel like they propped her up, by the way. Oh, it looks like we have a name. I'm a little blind right now. I can't say. I'm going to probably butcher it. But yes, we are looking into it right now, as you could see. Again, folks, and I'm going to pivot a little bit, but I don't understand why Virginians kept this up and running for a while, little bit. Yeah, I just think that she's a garbage governor. And I think that they platformed her to do the State of the Union, by the way, Alex, because they see her as possibly maybe a 2028 candidate. This is what they do. They try to use the State of the Union to see who they could elevate and see what the public pushback is, if there's pushback or if they like her. And it was edited, too, which is weird because there was a really strange cut. And it went from like a faraway shot to a closer shot. And I mean, they did it for Joe all the time. I think they were trying to get it by with her. We played that clip for you guys yesterday. But yeah. And she struggled to read off the teleprompter because, well, Gavin Newsom has something in common with her, too. And the rest of us, we just can't read off the screens. But that's not 2028 candidates, the material that you want. Alex, thank you for calling into the show. We appreciate your time as always. And I stay away from the Rumble chat. It's a lot of creepers. A lot of creepers, Alex. All right, let's turn to Ken in Ohio. Ken, welcome to the show.
I appreciate you taking your time to talk to me.
Thank you, Ken. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, you know, about this whole Epstein thing is that I really don't think that anything's going to happen to anybody. If you take a look at the history of what's happened, we've had John Podesta and Anthony Weiner. We had their laptops on there. Nothing happened with that. We had Hunter Biden's laptop being nothing happened in with that. I can't remember her name off the top of my head. The lady who was prosecuting Trump in New York.
Tish James.
Thank you. And nothing happened with her on that side. Then you have Comer. Nothing happened in with him. The people who orchestrated the Russian hoax. Nothing happened in with it. We have the people doing the investigation of who orchestrated January 6th. Nothing happened in with it. Nothing happened with those. And, it just kind of sickens me that our Congress is and Trump is protecting pedophiles. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a video, there's an email out that says, specifically says that I love the torture video. Well, who loves the torture video? Nobody, you know, that name was redacted. And how it was supposed to be was that only the victims' names were to be redacted, but now we have the people who were committing the crimes being redacted. So, you know, after all those things that have happened on that, I just really don't believe anything's going to happen, because there's only 10 members of Congress who don't take AIPAC money. Yeah. So, I mean, and all this goes back, you know, leading back to Mossad and his, you know, and their, you know, blackmail schemes. So, you know, and also like on this, Trump, when he did his State of the Union address, he specifically said that it was the government's responsibility to protect the American people, not illegal aliens. And I agree with that. But yet we have over 400,000 missing children in our country every year. And we're not protecting the children. So, I mean, it just kind of seems to me that it's just all smoke and mirrors. And now Trump wants to call that, you know, that it was all a hoax. And, you know, then he says, you know, can we talk about something other than health? You know, can we talk about something other than the Epstein files, like health care? Well, Congress has had years to work on health care. They've had years to work on the border. They've had years to work on Social Security and welfare and everything else. But if they fix those issues, then they don't have issues to run on. So why would they want to fix it? They want to keep us bickering, and they want to keep us divided. You know, it's I just don't see anything that's going to happen to any of the people there. When the Epstein files did finally get released, you noticed that there was a drop in gold, silver, and Bitcoin. I think that was a warning. That was just a warning, like, you know, if this comes out, we are going to collapse your economy. And I think Trump took that as the warning, and that's how come we're not doing anything about it.
Well, we know at the White House, it's the top issue is the economy. That's what they want to focus on. And there's certain moves that are not being made because of that. So, yeah, I would say you're probably right on that front. It's so frustrating to sit back and watch. You know, Ken, you're detailing it exactly the way I feel it is at this point. We're sitting on the sidelines watching, and we're wondering, when are you going to do something? When are you going to do something? And they're not going to do anything, it feels like. It feels like we're just going to get this. It's going to be rage bait. We're all supposed to just sit here and look at a lot of it and just go, nothing could be done. By the way, Zero Hedge has been putting out a lot of really important documents that he's finding as well. And a lot of it shows that there are actual videos of the property. He just put up a thing, too, as well from the Ness camera, that he has a Ness account that's still active, Jeffrey Epstein, and that all they need to do is find somebody who could hack into the two-step authentication setup that he has there, and you possibly might be able to get some access to the footage. Again, I don't know how legal that is. Wouldn't recommend it, but I would say if you want to look at Zero Hedge's setup that he has there, it's quite obvious that something could be done if they really wanted to, and there might actually, in fact, be footage that they're refusing to hand over. It doesn't surprise me, though, Ken. Again, a lot of this was erased. Those in the deep state didn't want it out there, and those who are inside of all of this now who could see it for themselves probably did get the warning. I mean, there's just no other way to look at this. I'm pretty sure our government officials are being blackmailed, because none of this seems to add up. Obviously, for Pam Bondi, I never had any hope in her. Never really wanted to sound like a negative person in regards to her, but I mean, things are panning out exactly how we thought they would, Ken. So it's really heartbreaking to see we have people who I truly like covering for pedos. We're told to look the other way, but we're not going to look the other way anytime soon, Ken. So there's that. There's that. Thank you for calling, Ken. I appreciate your call. Let's get to our next caller, Savage Dog in Georgia. Savage Dog, welcome back.
Hey, good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Good morning. How are you?
All right. Good morning. Call me Ducky, because you sure are pretty in pink.
Oh, man. You're the best. Savage Dog, I don't have to pay you for these compliments. You just give them naturally for free, so thank you.
I'm not going to let these other knucklehead callers one-up me on it. So,
thank you.
So I'm still a little drunk from watching the State of the Union with Louder with Crowder. They had a drinking game.
I love those drinking games. They always have great rules.
Sometimes. But he had take a drink whenever Trump gives a zinger, and that was a lot. Take a drink every time the commies don't stand up, and that was every time. and then finish your drink whenever a chant breaks out. So, yeah, it was a pretty rough night.
Well, I'm glad to hear you recovered or recovering.
Not yet. I need fluids. So, yeah, but that brings me to my point. And, you know, everybody, you know, we talk constantly about people who aren't going to vote because in the midterms. Well, take a look at the State of the Union. If you don't vote for a candidate who's not only on the fence, but let's take California, where all those safe Republican seats in this, you know, in 24, they were recounting, or they were counting till February, till they got enough votes to get the Democrat in. How many seats do we lose in California? Six, eight, something like that, something crazy, right? So if you sit home and you don't vote, and that means you want a commie who refuses to stand for America because you refuse to vote, then you are no better than the commies you allowed in. So if you're going to sit there and say, I'm not going to vote, be a petulant child, and yeah, I'm calling all y'all out. I'm not going to vote. You're just like them, and you're going to let somebody sit in a seat in Congress who's not going to stand for a freaking 100-year-old Navy fighter pilot who did the unthinkable. The Red Baron would be like, damn, this cat's awesome, right? Yeah. You know, get a Medal of Honor. They're not going to stand. Then you're no better than them. And I'm calling all of y'all out. And again, this way early, but you better keep this in mind. Keep this State of the Union in mind. That's who you're voting for. They're not allowed to get off the plantation. They're not allowed to think any differently. You know, that's what you got.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, Savage Dog, you're right. We need to get out and vote. Dems are going to be very enthusiastic. And so we need to be the same way. But and he didn't give me something to vote for. I mean, I know he did a great job at the speech, but I think it was a good job at the speech. The economy stuff at the front was a little bit, yeah. Like, I feel most Americans can't really find the relatable economy wins that he was pointing out. But we're still paying a lot at the grocery store and other places as well. But it's going to be a work in the progress. Obviously, that's not going to happen overnight. The damage was done by the Biden regime, of course. But, yeah, no, I think you're right about that as well. Savage Dog, thank you for calling. Folks, if you're on hold right now, stay put. I have Raw Egg National joining us next in the next hour of the show. But we'll dive back into the calls in a moment. I know we're up against the hard out right now. But if you're on hold, stay there. Don't go anywhere. Savage Dog, thank you for calling in, as you always do. We appreciate you. We'll get back to the calls in a moment after we have Raw Egg National on. By the way, he's got a lot to talk about in regards to MAHA, glyphosate as well. He's got a great couple of stories actually up on Infowars.com right now that I look forward to him breaking down for us. But in the meantime, you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. When you subscribe, you guys get an incredible discount, and it's so important to do. I subscribe personally because, you know, I love those energy shots. Can't shut up about those. So why sit there and be stressed out or possibly lose out on supplements when you could just get them automatically shipped to your door and cancel at any time over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over today. We also have methylene blue and red. When you buy the two, you get an incredible discount as well. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
Got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared just to in the you know the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor made.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways, I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue. At TheOliveShowStore.com.
Unlimited power.
Volunteer power.
Today, big shout out to my buddy over at Citizen Free Press, Kane, because Kane's been doing us a big solid. He actually is linking now to this show, and it is an honor, of course, because, well, CFP has some of the best people, the best audience, that comes to their platform every day. And, he has our live stream set up, so we're appreciative of that. He also has a story up on his website, which, you know, you might find interesting. I was in D.C. As many of you guys know, I wasn't here. And I was with Scott Pressler, and I was with Nick Sorter as well. And we couldn't get a Uber or a Lyft from DHS headquarters. It's quite the strange thing. I was ordering Lyfts, and I was trying to get a driver to pick us up. And they wouldn't come. Why? Probably, you know, if you could speculate a little bit, they might have been illegal. I'm sure they wouldn't want to do a pickup at DHS. And also, it doesn't help that Nick wears a Border Patrol hat either. It's not really a selling point if you're someone who's got questionable immigration status. But we did later get a ride. I had to go to a different location than where I was initially going. But Nick was great. And so he was able to do. We were all trying. We're all like, they keep taking it and then they keep canceling it. And so Nick was able to get us an Uber. But wasn't an easy task. Also, by the way, Senator Tommy Tuberville weighed in, and he wants to actually start asking for documents from Uber and Lyft. He wants to see if they've got a lot of illegals on their payroll. By the way, yesterday I also did a report on my X page as well. There was a Lyft driver who was an illegal alien, was here on some type of work status. We don't really know. Don't know if he overstayed, what the status of him is. But he did, in fact, he's accused, I should say, of sexually assaulting one of his passengers. It was somebody who was coming from a doctor's appointment or was going to a doctor's appointment. And he did sexually abuse her, held a gun to her, made her comply, and then dropped her off later at that doctor's appointment. Again, it's just one of the many, many situations that go on with Uber and Lyft. And it's a massive company, so I don't entirely blame them on things like this because, again, it's really, really difficult to vet everyone. But, I mean, this is a reoccurring theme. And every time, it's crazy because it never used to be this way, but every time I call for an Uber or a Lyft, every single person who comes to pick me up is someone who's not born in the United States. So that's something that recently just started changing. It doesn't matter what part of the country you're in. I mean, I was in the Midwest at one point. I was in Ohio, Springfield, Ohio, which actually is a massive hub for human trafficking. Again, check the plates before you get in. I had an incident where I checked the plates, and it wasn't the plates that were on the app. And he was trying to tell me just to get in the car. You never know what they're going to do after that. Once you get in, though, I did not get in. But anyways, long story short, yeah, there's a big issue with these ride-sharing companies. And they accept no blame for it, of course. But there's a common theme here, and you shouldn't shift away. Folks, I want to give you an update regarding the efforts to hold Senator Mark Kelly accountable for, you know, giving illegal or giving some advice that he shouldn't have given. As many of you guys know, the Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is appealing now a federal court ruling, which is trying to block the Pentagon from punishing Senator Mark Kelly, who obviously is a retired Navy captain. I'm trying to demote him and get rid of his title because, you know, Mark Kelly's a scumbag. Well, now the Pentagon is appealing that decision. And he's trying to push back to make sure that Mark Kelly's held accountable. Now, as many of you guys know, Mark Kelly claims that this is a violation of his First Amendment rights. This is the chilling infringement on his free speech. Mark Kelly doesn't have the right to go out there and tell military members to ignore orders that come from, you know, President Trump. So that's what he was trying to do, obviously. And now he's dealing with the pushback, and he's trying to hope
But the court side with him on that issue, and the Pentagon looking to hold him accountable. So there's that little update. They are appealing that now. We've got a lot more to discuss as well in the next hour of the show. Best part, too, is we've got Rod Nationalist joining me to give us a MAHA update, which I look forward to, of course. And we'll be diving into your call. So if you're on hold, stay there. Don't go anywhere. We'll be diving back into the callers in just a little bit. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. We have a flash sale going on for a little bit longer if you're someone who's a big fan of getting rid of your brain fog. Well, good news. Beth Lane Blue and Red, when you pair them together, it does just that and is on sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. If you support our work here, the best way to keep that up and running is to help us out. We'll do just that. thealexjonesstore.com. That is thealexjonesstore.com.
One of the most important things to me in my life is to get things right and to tell the truth and to be accurate. That's why they say Alex Jones is right. But it's not just our news, our prediction, our information that are incredibly accurate. It's the products. And out of all the amazing supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, our methylene blue, ultra methylene blue, is the best you're going to find on the market. It's so good for your body. Instant, clean, amazing energy. You owe it to yourself, if you sat on the fence, to go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get ultra methylene blue. And believe me, you are going to want to reorder it again. We have an 84% reorder on that product. No other supplement anywhere has anything even close. That is how amazing it is. Secure your ultra methylene blue now at thealexjonesstore.com. And thanks for keeping us on the air.
Repeat what you said is happening. You feel in the...
I feel like that stuff in my fingers. I feel tingling fingers.
There's the camera. Blast them with full power right there.
Ah!
Yeah!
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Let's get off the third hour of the program with a little MAHA update. Now, as many of you guys know, I was fired up when President Trump decided to sign an executive order, which will help speed up, I guess, the production of glyphosate. It's obviously something that we don't want in your food because, folks, it causes cancer. There's plenty of data that backs that claim up. And there's currently several class action lawsuits pending in regards to just that. And we told you all about it. But we're not giving up anytime soon. Right now up on Infowars.com, we have several incredible articles that inform you about the dangers of glyphosate and the internal battles that are going on right now on the federal level in regards to this. Because this was a MAHA movement that was supposed to shut down glyphosate being used on our food and agriculture. So why are we here at the point right now where we have a president who's signing executive orders to possibly provide immunity to Roundup and the companies that obviously produce a glyphosate? Most importantly, why are we looking to produce more of this? It's quite alarming. Joining me to discuss the latest on the glyphosate battle is Rod Nationalist. As many of you guys know, he's an incredible reporter over at Infowars.com, and he's also the author of the book, The Last Man. As many of you guys know, we had him here in studio just a couple of weeks ago, and he did a great job at outlining this. This book is now currently available up on Amazon as well, The Last Man, Liberalism and the Death of Masculinity. Welcome back to the show, my friend. It's an honor, of course, to have you on. I want to dive into the glyphosate topic with you because you've put up several articles right now that are up on Infowars.com in regards to that. So bring us the latest on this battle because, you know, we're kind of hearing from RFK Jr., but it really didn't sound like him the same that was provided.
It's great to be back, Brianna, after being live in the studio with you. That was a real pleasure.
Yes,
well. It's been a bad week or 10 days for MAHA, really. And I think to top it off, we've had this executive order, which really does appear to have granted immunity to glyphosate manufacturers. The biggest glyphosate manufacturer is Bayer, of course. Bayer makes Roundup. They bought Monsanto in 2018, the company that created glyphosate. And it seems like a huge betrayal. It really does of MAHA. I mean, you have to understand, you know, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Secretary of Health and Human Services, he's been campaigning for decades about pesticide regulation, been doing his utmost to raise awareness of the harms caused by pesticides and herbicides, and in particular glyphosate. Glyphosate has been one of his major bugbears for good reason, because it's the most widely used chemical pesticide in the U.S. it's sprayed by the, you know, millions, billions of gallons a year. Huge quantities of glyphosate sprayed, especially across the Midwest, on corn and soy. Special GMO varieties of corn and soy have been created so more glyphosate can be sprayed on them. And now as well, and this is something that's only happened in the last few years, glyphosate is being sprayed on crops before harvesting to desiccate them, to dry them out, and to increase yields. So glyphosate is everywhere, and you know there's study after study substantiating the harms glyphosate causes. There are tens of thousands of claims against Bayer at the moment for harms caused by glyphosate, mainly non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a very, very unpleasant form of cancer, but also other harms, reproductive harms. It's been linked to diabetes and obesity, neurodegenerative disorders, pretty much every kind of chronic disease, actually, you could imagine. Fertility problems, too, and that's something, obviously, that I write about a lot. So giving the manufacturers of glyphosate immunity at a time when actually they are being held accountable for the harms that this chemical has caused and does cause, the harms it causes individuals, but also the environment as well. It really does seem like a fundamental betrayal. And it seems, you know, MAHA was created to challenge the vested interests that profit from Americans being maintained in perpetual sickness. And it's, yeah, it just feels like a very, very big betrayal. And we had RFK Jr. stepping up and saying, look, I agree with President Trump. It's, you know, we need to maintain glyphosate production in the U.S. because if we don't, the agricultural system will collapse. I mean, I wrote an opinion piece over the weekend about this. It really does feel like special pleading from RFK Jr. And it's very unfortunate. But I would recommend that if you want to find out some more about this, read my opinion piece up on the website and also read the primer that I wrote on glyphosate. So I wrote a piece about a year or two ago, actually, for InfoWars that I re-upped at the weekend called The Trouble with Glyphosate. And that will tell you exactly what is wrong with glyphosate and also ways that you can protect yourself and your loved ones from the harmful effects.
Yeah, and that's the big point in all of this, you know, and I love that you have all this up because you've put up several articles up on InfoWars.com to highlight all the dangers of it. You know, when we talk about the pending lawsuits, you know, Bayer has put up a settlement offer potentially for over $7 billion. I mean, to sit here and to pretend like this is somehow good for America. And this, by the way, the settlement was put out there the day before this executive order was signed. I mean, this is like such a bad PR optic for some reason. They continue to just, you know, push it out there. It truly is mind blowing. What do you make of RFK Jr.'s statement when he came out there and defended all of this? It didn't seem authentic to me because he's been such an advocate for shutting all this down and stopping this. I mean, there's people who eat all organic. Alex Clark has been very transparent in this. She's one of the individuals with Turning Point. And she said that she had her blood work done and there was glyphosate in her body and she doesn't understand because she's very strict with her diet and she's all organic only. So this means that there's possibly glyphosate being put on our organic products as well. I mean, this is just so, this is such a big issue, such a deep issue that so many people can't just wrap their minds around. Why would they be doing this to the American people?
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And this is actually an unfortunate thing about organic food is that actually you think organic food is going to be free of herbicides and pesticides and nasty chemicals, but it often isn't. It usually will have less, much less than non-organic produce, but you have to factor in things like drift. So when farmers spray pesticides and herbicides, they drift on the wind. They can drift long distances. And I mean, I'm talking miles or even tens of miles in some cases. So you can have an organic farm. They're not using any chemicals, but next door there's a non-organic farm or nearby there's a non-organic farm and they're spraying chemicals and they drift on the wind and land on the produce. So, that is unfortunately the case, that actually even organic food will have probably some residue of harmful chemicals on it. But yeah, it didn't sound like RFK Jr. at all. I think he's in a very, very difficult position. I think President Trump probably, you know, signed this executive order, wanted to sign this executive order really without asking RFK Jr. I don't think he had any input on it. And so I think he's had to save face. And I mean, at a certain level, then there is a truth to what RFK Jr. is saying. And he is right that if you withdrew all of the chemical inputs that are used in industrial agriculture in the US, all the herbicides, the pesticides, if you stopped using GMO, the system would collapse and there would be serious, serious food shortages. Nobody wants the agricultural system to collapse. Nobody wants Americans to be without food. What we want, what Maha wants, and what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wants in his heart of hearts is for a fundamental change to the way that food is produced in the US. He wants a massive reliance on chemicals, on harmful substances like glyphosate, to be reduced or even eliminated, and for farmers to use regenerative methods of farming like those used by Joel Salatin, for example. And also he wants, as he said in the long tweet that he put out, he wants to introduce new high-tech methods of farming, things like laser, weed, and pest control. So there are these great big trailers now that you can stick on the back of a tractor. They have lasers on them and AI guidance systems, and you drive through the field and lasers zap weeds and insects. So you don't need to use any insects at all. But this equipment is expensive, and it will need to be subsidized and made available to farmers as an alternative to chemical inputs. So There is a kernel of truth to what RFK Jr. is saying about the fragility of the American industrial agricultural system. But the question, the real question, and I say this in my opinion piece, is when are we going to get when are Americans going to taper off their reliance on these chemicals? When is the transition going to begin? And RFK Jr. kind of says in the long tweet, you know, we're going to use regenerative farming. We're going to use these high tech methods, but he didn't give any kind of time frame. And the thing is, regenerative farming methods can start being used now. The federal government, the USDA, could start encouraging farmers to use regenerative methods. They could start subsidizing farmers to go organic or to go near organic and to cut their reliance on chemical inputs. They could do that tomorrow. They could do it today. So when is this going to happen? And I think Kennedy really needs to come up with an answer to that question. When is the transition going to start? Because the Maha movement, the grassroots, are really, really angry about this, rightly, I think. And they're going to put a lot of pressure on RFK Jr., a lot of pressure on the Trump administration too. And it could be a factor in the midterms. So it's not something that can be overlooked. If the Republicans, if Trump wants to win the midterms, he has to address this problem, I think. And so does RFK, and he has to give a satisfying answer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the American people want more on this issue, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon. But when it comes to our health and our, you know, children's health, I mean, this is something that's deeply concerning. But what's even worse is a new actually story that you've posted as well up on Infowars.com. Now, this one, I know it's been going back and forth for quite some time on. But when you look at the stats as to how many Americans, specifically American children, are overweight, it's quite alarming. 1 in 5 children over the age of 6 are obese, with nearly 70% of children's calories coming from ultra-processed foods. Now, we keep hearing about this administration talking about the ultra-processed foods and the problems that we have currently with it. But so many Americans are addicted to these foods, and they're not shifting away from it anytime soon. What's the latest information on this front, too? Because, by the way, I mean, they've done a great job. RFK Jr. and his team have done a great job at bringing a lot of high-profile celebrities on board to push for Americans to pull away from these highly processed foods. What is the latest that you're reporting on right now?
Yeah, so there's really, really unfortunate statistics showing that the obesity crisis is only deepening, and it's getting worse in the most vulnerable demographic among children.
Yeah.
So children are just getting fatter and fatter, and it is largely because they are consuming more and more ultra-processed foods. So, I mean, I think that there were some early wins for RFK Jr. on the ultra-processed food front. He got ultra-processed food manufacturers to say they'll stop using harmful red dyes. And he's announced, you know, that there's going to be an overhaul of the way that food additives are regulated. He's going to try to close the generally recognized as safe loophole in the FDA's food additive regulations, which allows companies, basically, food companies can come up with new additives, say they're safe and introduce them to the food supply without the FDA even being involved. And that's been going on now for 70 years, or the better part of 70 years, since 1958. So the food supply, additives in the food supply, that's largely unregulated. And it's almost certainly the case that there are maybe as many as 10,000 additives in the food supply as compared to 2,000 in the European Union. And what's even worse is that we simply don't know whether the vast majority of them are even safe for consumption. So something needs to be done about that. And RFK Jr. is right to say that loophole, the GRAS loophole, needs to be closed. But yeah, I think we need to go further. RFK Jr. needs to go further. There needs to be a real concerted effort to get children to stop eating processed foods. And it needs to begin early. It needs to begin actually really from birth. I mean, the very first processed food, the very first ultra-processed food that most children consume, or many children consume, is formula, is baby formula. Baby formula is baby's first ultra-processed food. It is an ultra-processed version of a perfectly adequate food, or in fact, more than a perfectly adequate food, a perfect food, breast milk. And it sets children up really for a lifetime of consuming ultra-processed foods. So I think the effort really does need to begin early. I think mothers need to be encouraged to breastfeed their children. Mothers who can't breastfeed, there needs to be an infrastructure for them to have access to breast milk. And you could have breast milk banks, for example. You see them on Facebook, local breast milk sharing groups. You could have, you know, a much wider kind of network set up for mothers, and that they should be encouraged to use it. But you've got to stop children getting hooked on ultra-processed foods. They're at their most vulnerable, and ultra-processed food is addictive. It absolutely is addictive. It is as addictive as any other substance. It's as addictive as a narcotic. It's as addictive as nicotine in cigarettes. And I think until it's treated with that level of seriousness, with the level of seriousness that tobacco and cigarettes were treated with, then the problem isn't really going to get better. And actually what we're going to see is children just getting fatter and fatter, continuing to get fatter and fatter. It won't just be one in five, it will be one in four, and then it will be one in three, and then it will be half of all children who are obese. So something really needs to be done, something fundamental.
Yeah, well, I could tell you, I mean, I am addicted to caramel M&Ms. And if I get a big bag of those, I literally will crush it in one sitting. And so I just can't have them in the house at all. But, you know, it totally is addicting. And I don't think people realize it. You know, I know people who sadly are addicted to sugar in this country and they won't stop. Then they're warned by their doctors, you're pre-diabetic. You got to stop. And they still keep going. And so there definitely is an addiction quality here, or an issue here in regards to all of that. And sadly, so many Americans don't realize it. But we've got to force ourselves to stop eating these foods. And I mean, I say it all the time. I lost a significant amount of weight when I just went carnivore only. And I highly recommend everyone trying it, at least if you know, obviously I'm not a doctor, but what's in our food supply is obviously really bad. And I know meats obviously aren't bulletproof, but these ultra processed foods are toxic, and Americans really need to wake up to that. I want to get to this other story too before we run out of time. This one in regards to teenagers who are at risk when they are smoking marijuana of developing psychological issues and bipolar disorders as well. I've heard about this again. It was Alex Clark. She does a great podcast too, where she goes through all the MAHA stuff. But I believe it was her who cited that her family member developed a bipolar disorder, I believe it was. And she cites that she thinks it was actually due to his usage of marijuana. Again, I'm just going off the cuff here. I haven't actually looked into this it's been a couple of weeks now, but I mean, she does a lot of incredible work, and I want to give her credit there, but this is something that most Americans don't really realize. We hear all the time that cannabis is harmless and that Americans could use cannabis if they'd like to without there being any, you know, repercussions for it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I have some anecdotal experience too. So a friend of mine I was at school with when I was at secondary school, He really started smoking marijuana in a big way, aged about sort of 15, 16. And he ended up actually having a psychotic break when he was, I think he was 17 or 18. It was before he finished school anyway. It was really, he went from being a, you know, normal guy developing in the normal way and then really developed some quite serious mental problems. He was smoking marijuana every day before school and after and sometimes during school as well, actually. But, yeah, there is a wealth of evidence that substantiates the harm marijuana can do to developing brains. And this latest study, I think, shows that teenagers who use marijuana or have a history of using marijuana within the last year have double the risk of developing various psychiatric disorders, I think, including schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. I mean, that's a seriously elevated risk. But actually, I think we have to look actually at the way that marijuana is being used more broadly in society. You know, you have proliferation of THC and CBD vapes. You have women using THC and CBD vapes, I think CBD vapes in particular, to combat morning sickness. And there's all sorts of evidence that actually even these vape products are causing serious harm. So there's a growing body of evidence that actually, you know, if you're smoking marijuana or using a CBD vape while you're pregnant, the baby is at significantly increased risk of various developmental disorders. It's not good. But, you know, cannabis and cannabis extracts have replaced nicotine as the American or as Americans' drug of choice, really. You know, Americans have gone from smoking cigarettes to smoking marijuana, to smoking spliffs and smoking these THC and CBD vapes. And it's still kind of the Wild West out there. You know, the cannabis strains are getting stronger and stronger. The vapes and the extracts are getting stronger and stronger. And it looks like it's just becoming more and more harmful. And I think there probably needs, again, this probably needs to be a MAHA focus. You know, teenagers shouldn't have access to this stuff. I mean, I know, you know, whether it's legal or illegal, then some teenagers are going to smoke pot, of course. But it shouldn't be as readily available as it is. And, you know, if you can walk into to a gas station as a teenager and buy an incredibly powerful THC or CBD vape, that really shouldn't be allowed. That really shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, well, this is the problem. We're normalizing all of this. And sadly, I think the next generation is going to really have a big problem. It's sad. It really is. But one of the key issues, too, with the vape conversation, we've covered it on this show, but the Chinese vapes that are coming into our market and flooding our market, yeah, you don't know what's in them. And the Chinese hate us. I mean, they're the ones who are flooding us, too, with glyphosate as well. They are the ones that hate us, and they want the American people to be weak. And so getting them addicted to vapes with questionable things inside of these vapes is definitely a win for the CCP. We are at war on all fronts, and I think the American people need to start waking up to that. They think marijuana is harmless, but they don't realize where the source is on a lot of these issues. And again, I know this administration, especially since RFK Jr. has stepped in, is really trying to focus in on those vapes that are coming from China. And they're illegal, obviously, because they're not approved. But he is trying to target those. But it's a really, really hard market to take on right now because we're being flooded with all of this. So it's really frustrating to see. But the American people need to make better health decisions. And that's the reason why we arm you over at the Infowars.com, because, you know, Rog, you do a great job at detailing all of this in your reports. And you try to put out the most important information so Americans could figure out how to take their health decisions into their own hands. And this is really, really important. So we appreciate all that you do. So thank you.
It's a pleasure, Brianna, and always good to speak to you.
Always a pleasure, my friend. You got to come back down to the studio sometime soon as well, because we love having you here. Folks, that's Raw Egg Nationalist. Give him a follow on X as well. A great follow and puts out critical information, and it's always on Infowars.com as well, so check it out. All right, folks, we're getting ready to buckle up for your calls. I know there's a lot of people on hold right now and some who want to talk about glyphosate, so stay right there. If you're on hold, we're going to try in the next portion of the show to get to your calls again, so stay there. I would give out the number, but it looks like we have a full deck, so if you haven't called in yet, hold off for now. I'm going to try to get through the list that we have going on right now. In the meantime, AlexJonesStore.com, thealexjonesstore.com, I should say, is where you're going to head on over to right now, because we have a flash sale going on today. Again, when you buy methylene blue and red together, you get an incredible discount.
that you're not going to see anywhere else. Our flash sale, and it's going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there today. When you support us, you keep us up on air and running, and we appreciate you doing just that.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything gets a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones backup network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are Patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We used to sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country. $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you spend X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the info war. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal website. You're all jumping on board with us today. A lot happening over here, and we want to make sure we got to all of our callers. So many of you have been on hold, and I'm going to start going back down the list. We've got Chris in Kentucky up first. Chris, welcome back to the show. Or welcome to the show, I should say.
Thanks, Brianna, for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah,
I really don't know where to start other than in September 30th of 2024, I was diagnosed with stage 4 melanoma. And just give all glory and honor to God for keeping me alive and letting me be led to some information that's helped me in this battle. And methylene blue is part of my protocol, and I'm doing that along with managing my diet, and I use a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. If I could give a piece of advice to all the cancer patients out there that might be listening, research what Thomas Seyfried says about cancer and how to manage it, because I believe it's ultimately the key. It's a metabolic issue. It's not a genetic issue. And it's where our medical system has got this really, really wrong. But going back to the glyphosate, I grew up on a farm. You know, I've handled Roundup since I was a little kid, you know, helping my granddad fill up the sprayer. And I even managed a fertilizer and chemical dealership. So I've been around it constantly for decades. And in 2016, I totally changed my diet and got off carbs. And I guess at the time kind of went more keto. And I didn't realize how pervasive glyphosate was in our food system and even in our environment. If you do some research, you'll see where they've tested rainwater in different parts of the country. And, I mean, it's like you can't get away from it. And I think the only way to start cleaning that up is to stop using it. And I do understand where RFK is coming from about it destroying the ag economy. Farmers today, they don't know what to do without a genetically modified crop and how to control weeds. They would be totally lost, and it would be a disaster. So I'm not trying to be an apologist for the administration, but I do understand it from a farmer's standpoint and just knowing what I know. But yes, it would be a great day if we could eliminate it. And I, you know, you got to start somewhere. And like I said, it's so pervasive, even in our environment. I'm sure it's in well water as well. You know, doing some research, even just here recently, I wanted to see if there were some links to glyphosate and melanoma, which is what I had. It had spread. I had one little tiny spot on my neck in 2019 that was taken off, this biopsy, you know, a skin biopsy. And it was melanoma. And, you know, I went to the dermatologist and got checked after that. And, you know, I was at the 5-year mark. I thought I was good to go. And on September 30th of 2024, I had a bad headache and pulled into a little convenience store and was going to get a snack before I went to work that night. I'd been driving the truck and farming. So I was driving the truck at night and then trying to farm in the day. And so
when I turned around to leave that store, my left foot was dragging, and I knew there was something serious going on. So I went to the emergency room, and I found I had 15 brain tumors. And you talk about a good way to run your day. And I ended up going to MD Anderson, having brain surgery, and came out of that fine. But like I said, the Lord has been good to me, and I give him all the honor and glory and praise for getting me to where I am today. And you know, I'm not out of the woods yet, but I'm fighting. And you know, I really would like to see this changed.
Yeah. Well, Chris, I'm glad you called in and shared your story today. So thank you for that. That's gonna save someone else's life. Just hearing you talk about what happened to you, talk about the signs, that means a lot. So thank you for that. And I'm glad, you know, you're doing better. You know, we're gonna pray for you, Chris, because that is absolutely devastating. And you know, I'm thankful that you're okay and you're able to talk about these things. 15 tumors is a lot. So thank you for sharing that. You know, when it comes to the investments too and all of this, I would love to see this administration, you know, let's just say, because I know you're talking about how there's not many alternatives. If this administration would have signed this executive order and said, listen, we're also in the backhand of this going to invest in other potential options and make sure that farmers are well funded so that they could also possibly with these lasers take out these weeds and to take out these insects, that they could also get these investments paid for by the government to help kind of absorb that cost. I think that would do a lot. And that would have helped significantly with the blowback of all of this. But I mean, it's so devastating, Chris, because our farmers are put at a higher risk of all of this by doing this every day. So we're thankful for the risk that you guys take on. But man, oh man, do we really need to give you guys an alternative here? This shouldn't be the only solution, is turning to glyphosate and continuing to utilize this. There needs to be other options. And like you said, even the well water, I'm sure if we were to test the well water as well, it's in there. And so, it's a deeper issue. It really is a deeper issue. But Chris, I'm glad to hear that you're doing better. We're going to pray for you and make sure that you are okay moving forward though. And thank you for your service. We don't thank farmers enough in this country and truckers as well. You guys keep this country up and going. You guys are the pulse of this country. So we are very honored, for you, everything that you've done and your family's done as well. So Chris, thank you for calling to the show. Is there anything that our audience can do to help you in any way, besides pray for you?
I would appreciate the prayers, but I believe the Lord's got me where I'm at. So, I would appreciate the prayers. And just kind of to add insult to injury, in 2021, we started converting our farm to organic. And of course, I'm not at the farm every day now, so I'm not getting to participate in that endeavor anymore. I was so bad when I came home from brain surgery. I had to sell my cows, and the farm's 45 minutes away, so I can't drive. And that, like I said, I appreciate the platform and to share this story, and I appreciate the prayers. Thank you. Thank you, Brianna.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for calling, and I appreciate you sharing your story. It's going to save other people's lives. Just hearing the symptoms and hearing what you went through, this will be very life-changing for someone else out there. So thank you, Chris, for sharing your story, and we appreciate you calling in. So thank you very much. Folks, let's keep going down the caller list. Lester in West Virginia, I want to go to you next. Thank you for being on hold. I know it was quite some time that you've been waiting, so thank you for that.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. Today's a good day for two reasons. You know why?
Why?
It's because baseball's being played somewhere. And another reason, West Virginia just passed a bill that makes abuse offenders go onto a registry. Yeah. So think about this. second time you're found guilty of any kind of abuse towards a woman, you know, like domestic abuse, mm-hmm. you go on a registry. So now a woman can look you up, and if you're on a you know, a abuse registry, she can say, hey, I don't want nothing to do with this guy. He's done abuse to women, you know, at least because you had the first time they don't do it. But yeah. the second time, if you're a chronic, you know, domestic violence abuser, they put you on a registry. And I think that is a huge win for this state.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, yeah, I wouldn't do the first one because I know there's a lot of women out there who might report someone as committing some crime against them and it not be true. But I think the second time I think is solid because two different women, I mean, unless you have really bad taste in women, then yeah, no, I'd say it's warranted. Yeah, it's one of those things that we really need to talk about more often too because a lot of times we have these, maybe possibly get some of the details out there too because of the crimes itself would also be important so that it's not just it's not just claims being made without any evidence. If there's evidence, if there's video involved, maybe that's best too to add to that registry. But yeah, that is a good day and it's good. Baseball's back. I haven't watched baseball in years, Lester. It's been a busy time for me. So, I try to catch spring training at least, and I'm going to try to make my way down to Florida to catch at least one or two Yankee games. But, yeah, it's always a good day. And I know I've got a lot of good friends out there who are going to be very excited about that. So it is a good day. Lester, thank you for holding and thank you for calling in. We appreciate just that. Let's go to Chris in New York City. Chris, welcome to the show.
Brianna, yes. I have to tell you, very important that Elon Musk acquire MSNBC, CNN, one of these well-known networks that are going out of business. Mm-hmm. Because every time I tell people what we talk about on these shows, mm-hmm. they say, where did you hear that? Where did you hear that? Well, we need that extra 10, 20, 30% of people to find out where I heard that. Yeah. Because it's important. We need that extra 30% of people to know what's really going on. And people like Elon Musk, who has so much money, he could do this and have a neutral network showing both sides of what the real news is. And I think we really, I don't want to be a killjoy knocking your show or Alex or anyone else, but we need that extra 30% of the people to know what's really going on because they don't know. They say, where did you hear that? Mm-hmm. That's going to be the name of my book before I die. Where did you hear that? Well, that's my two cents.
Yeah. No, Chris, I'm on board for that. I mean, I've got family members who disagree with me politically, and when I am debating them, they just don't think it's real what I'm saying. I mean, someone, my family, who didn't know that Joe Biden sniffs children was like one thing, too. They're like, he doesn't do that. Shut up, Brianna. You're lying. And I'm like, here are the clips. This isn't AI. This is real. And they had no idea that Joe Biden has a habit of sniffing children. They also didn't know about his daughter's diary because that doesn't make it into the mainstream. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be great. And you got to get into the cable news world, too, because that's where you got to confront people with the facts. Some of these people, I mean, but this is why they attack InfoWars so hard, right? Because they try to give it like it's like when they say the word conspiracy theorist, it's a way to discredit someone when they call you that, when they label you that. And so other people are just like, I can't trust that as a source. But then here we are, always right about everything. And the PR push doesn't really, you know, taint our images of or our image that the public sees, I guess it'd be. But you know, Chris, I think I'm on board with that. It would be great. It'd also be great if we could like reproduce like Elon Musk and get a whole bunch of them out there because he's got a lot on his plate these days, but we need a lot of investment in just right-wing media. And we say right-wing media, I'm not talking about politics. I mean, like we're right and we're the media. That's what I'm referring to. Chris, thank you for calling in. I appreciate your time. Let's turn to Tim in California. Tim, welcome back.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Yes, after hearing Chris tell his story, and you also appropriately jumped in and mentioned that these same fates happen to, say, for instance, hazmat truck drivers. You know, you get exposed to various chemicals, and you don't really know how long it's going to take for your body to react or what kind of, you know, ultimately cancer you may end up with and so forth. And sorry to hear Chris's story, and I know that there's many out there that have a similar story. But as you said, it's good that he told it because he's going to help others.
Yeah. Now that's the important part of it, for sure. Yeah.
Well, and here I am calling about something kind of quasi-related. This is in the gated community in the city of Irvine, California. The gated community is known as Altair, one word, just like it sounds. And on Monday, it was like breaking news all over Southern California, and they got, you know, helicopters and everything, and they're flying around. And it was reported that there had been these are like, you know, multi-million dollar houses in a private gate community. I mean, you would never expect this to happen in this place. And, the problem is the Irvine police got there and said, yeah, there's this suspicious thing here. So then they call in the FBI, and the FBI calls in the hazmat people, and they've been there all week, and they said they're going to be there again today. So from Monday to Thursday, they're still there, and the word yesterday is they're going to be there through at least Saturday. Mm-hmm. And the initial reports were there was a nerve agent. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not good. They said it was a homemade chemical lab that caught on fire, but that while they were there investigating, they discovered, you know, a nerve agent. I'm thinking, you know, why would you have a nerve agent in somebody's place that nice, you know? Mm-hmm. But you get the idea. We don't know, and there's been no arrests yet. We don't know nothing about nothing. But the thing that made me suspicious is it got really kind of like scrubbed. Like now it's just suspicious materials, and there's no more discussion about nerve agent. But in the beginning, there was, you know. So it's like, how come all those stories that included those words have now disappeared? Those words aren't there anymore. Mm-hmm. What happened to those words? Nerve agent, you know, that was lasted for a while, then it disappeared. Mm-hmm. So I just thought it was a little bizarre, and they've been hanging out all week in hazmat suits, so something went on there.
Yeah, I mean, Tim, no surprise, but thanks for putting that on my radar, because I actually didn't know that story, and that was a great story for you to share. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I'll look up the address to see if I could get who owns that property too. If they're Chinese, Tim, you're probably on to something there. We know that the Chinese are also well known for purchasing up homes here and then smuggling in things that might cause harm. So, yeah, you're definitely onto something there. I'll look into it, too, to see if I can find out who owns that property, because that would be very, very telling, of course. So thanks for putting that on our radar, Tim. Tim always does that. He calls in when there's all these great local California stories and things that, like, we might not be aware of. He's got flagged for us, and so we're very grateful for that. Tim, thank you for calling in and sharing that little snippet for me, because I'll look into this, see if I can find out who owns that home. So thank you. Let's turn back to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was going to call on about something else, and then Chris from Kentucky changed my mind. Mm-hmm. And thoughts and prayers. As soon as I get off the phone, I'm putting a prayer in for everybody that's been affected by this, the industries mm-hmm. that exist and everything that has us under their thumb. What Chris mentioned, I think, is very, very important in the sense of just in contrast from naturopathic mm-hmm. and allopathic. And he had discussed hyperbaric chamber, and his results are, he's better. He's, you know, that you're seeing the results. Or you're starting to get somewhere, or you're seeing changes. And that's the big thing, is that, you know, I'd look around. I found actually a doctor that went through a situation where he was working for a hospital, and it's in Iowa, and he actually was fired because he was prescribing ivermectin, that sort of thing, and then went off, and now he's opened his own clinic, which is naturopathic. And he has patients that he can actually treat from out of state. There's certain states that he can treat patients from, and they were traveling to his facility, and they just stopped traveling because it became more expensive to travel. They just purchased hyperbaric chambers because they were like, the results paid off in full, as opposed to just even having the cost of, you know, flying to and from. So they just said, well, why not just, you know, if you have the means, obviously that's a different story. But it's proof that if you can get access and gain access, and if people like Chris are putting that information out there, which is amazing, that he's calling in and letting us know that there are things out there. It's like your colostrum, bovine colostrum plus. Mm-hmm. What does glyphosate do to minerals? Chelates them, binds to them, and removes them. What does it do in the soil? It chelates and binds them and removes them from the soil, or it stays there and it never gets utilized. I've been trying to find a microbial soil test to test soils here and then say, okay, well, let's go and test the soil here, and then let's go into a forest where everything's growing wonderfully, and let's test the microbes there, and hence that regenerative farming. That's what you're doing, is you're keeping microbes in there. They break down the soils, the nutrients that are in the soils, and they make it bioavailable for the plant to provide it for us. Another option is Kroetke. Are you familiar with Kroetke?
No, I'm not.
Growing method?
Mm-mm, no.
You can grow that easily in just the smallest place if you have a specific thing that you want to grow. For example, I like to do the sauerkraut, cabbage, easily done through Kroetke. You don't need anything other than a container, water, and nutrients, and you grow it, and it's soilless. You don't need soil. Things are out there that exist that, and again, I always say it's going to take us 50 years at least to get to a point where we can all say, yep, this is what happened. But what's great is that we have people and individuals and professionals out there doing the things that they're doing to try to get this information out there. And you're doing it. Raw Egg is doing it. Chris is doing it. And thank you so much for everything that you've talked about today. I appreciate it. Thanks, Brianna.
Thank you, Chad, for calling in. No, it's definitely something that we need to be talking more about. And, you know, that's why we have Raw Egg on. I saw his stories going up and I said, we got to start talking about this more. We can't let up on this issue. So I know our audience gets it, Chad. And, I know viewers at home right now understand the importance of all of this. And obviously it's very, very important, for us to keep the conversation going. Unfortunately though, we're up against the hard out right now. I was going to try to take some more callers, but I don't think we have time for that. But for those of you at home right now, thank you for calling into the show. We greatly appreciate your insight and your willingness to talk about a lot of these important issues. So thank you for that. Truly do mean that. For those of you at home too, who, want a little update on the Fannie Willis drama that's going on right now, it looks like John Solomon's also reporting the Biden DOJ came to Fannie Willis's, I guess they reached out to Fannie Willis and they told her to apply for a $2 million grant. Apparently she applied for that grant and they then moved it to make it more, less competitive. Apparently this is according to him. I have not yet, dove into any of this. He's just kind of putting out the bits of information right now up on X. But we'll have to look into that to see what exactly that grant was for. But you guys are so great. It got up pretty quickly. Again, this just goes to show how well orchestrated all of this was. And how Fannie Willis and the people who were behind her, Nathan Wade, all of them, they all need to be dragged into criminal court. What these people did was, in fact, criminal. And so we need to hold them accountable. All right, folks, that does it for me today. I want to remind everyone to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. When you subscribe, you get an incredible discount over thealexjonesstore.com. And you keep the supplements rolling in so you never have to worry about running out. That's why it's so important. So head on over right now. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I know we were talking about colostrum yesterday as well. There were so many health benefits involved in there. If you head on over to the shop, you can see it for yourself. So do that right now. Head on over to TheAlexJonesStore.com. And make sure you do that today. When you support us, we support you by trying to get you onto the MAHA movement and to get you a little bit healthier while the rest of the big corporate world, the corporate ag, and everyone else tries to sadly make us unhealthier. TheAlexJonesStore.com helps us with that. I'll be back tomorrow.
People can use this as a teaching moment. That, you know, I see a lot of people out there who think they can imitate Alex Jones. And they have never understood the amount of work that goes in to the detailed reports that you do. But the second part is, okay, if you're out there and you want to be Alex Jones or replicate Alex Jones, Alex teaches you the way to do it. Just pay attention. One is learn history. Understand history. Understand what templates to look for. Once you understand that, you understand what the play is going to look like. And then you're just looking for who to cast in what roles. because you understand the broader course of history, how these things tend to operate, how assassinations tend to occur, how cover-ups tend to happen, how false flags occur, how staged events occur, how also could the various forms of COINTELPRO type psyops to infiltrate dissident movements to distract them from the real conspiracy into fake conspiracy in order to feed a fake conspiracies into people who otherwise would be investigating the real conspiracy. Also to act as a discrediting agent. So learn the methodologies, learn how to look at what's, how to review sources, how to understand the psychology of the participants involved. Once you understand that, you can be much more accurate and predictive at what took place with more explanatory power and more predictive capacity. And that's what Alex does, is massive amounts of work that starts with understanding history.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing, and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get ultra-methylene.